Pokemon Go gets a gym makeover, but is it enough to get everyone interested in the game again? And will everyone be interested in a Nintendo GameCube party game being released on Nintendo Switch later this month? We find out tonight on the show where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 692 for this July, the 2nd of 2017. My name is Rob Roberts. You might know me on Twitter at Sky, S-K-I-E. Joining me here in Studio N7, based out of Sacramento, California, say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. Well, welcome. You doing okay over there? You sound like an evil supervillain plotting.
I feel really good right now.
Why is that?
Because you brought me chocolate.
I did. I brought her back chocolate from Chicago, which was what she wanted. I said,
I don't know how to pronounce this place.
She was kitty sitting. So I said she could have anything she wanted. So, of course, she wanted chocolate. I think it's Vosges hot chocolate. I don't know. It's something.
But I have heard of this place like for the last year or so, for longer than that. I was like, you know what? I have to have chocolate from this place. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I have one request.
There it is.
And it is the orgasm of chocolate.
Well, we found one. They had one on the Miracle Miles, the Magic Mile, I think is what it's called in Chicago, mm-hmm. where all the big stores are. We actually went to a Uniqlo store that sold, they have Nintendo shirts right now. And I've never been in one of those stores, but that was something Alan was looking at. So I actually got a shirt that's just a giant Mario sprite, but it's like red. It's really cool. So, you know, did some shopping in Chicago. So real quick, I had a great time in Chicago, that city's always very good to me. Had a great time at the Pride event there. How was San Francisco? You did San Francisco Pride the
week
we were off, right?
It's very weird walking in a cast.
Oh, did you actually get to march in the parade?
I didn't march.
Oh, okay. I thought you did.
Because I couldn't do that. It was basically a lot of standing around, but mm-hmm. I got to meet a few other of the local Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, mm-hmm. which was great.
Awesome.
But after a while, it was like too many people, just way too many people. So we ended up going to Japantown.
Oh, fun.
Instead. And JD was with us.
Yeah, I was going to say, our pal JD lives in that area. Yeah,
he hung out with us for most of the time.
Yeah, great.
And we met up with my friend Liz and her wife Skirt. Mm-hmm. Who I'd never met her wife before, so mm-hmm. it was a great meeting, and you know, hung around. We went to Kinokuniya, and of course, I found a Danganronpa V3 book, so I had to say, Shane, do you want this? We've already left the store, so then I get, is it this? I bet there's a spoiler on it. I do want it. Tell JD to get it for me. And I was like, I'm not walking the fuck back.
Just
there.
So you know, he officially got the book yesterday, because we saw JD yesterday on another random trip, so there's been lots of random trips going on.
Yeah, and I'll get into my gaming week on this one, but Shane sat me down to play the Danganronpa V3 demo in Japanese.
Nice.
And I'm actually pretty proud of how much of it I understood, so yay for me.
Before I introduce our third here, I just want to make sure the listeners know you've been talking about the boot tonight. Your foot is in a cast.
Yes, it's in a cast.
But you're going to be okay. You didn't like break your leg or anything.
No, it's not broken. I've got the problem actually with both of my feet, but my right foot is significantly worse. Mm-hmm. Where I have a bunion. You know, 50% of the population has them. Some people have them really severely. And I am one of the ones with a really severe bunion. I actually want to get my x-rays because my feet look fucking bizarre. No, seriously.
Well, to be fair, a lot of you looks fucking bizarre.
Girl. Mirror.
You left the door wide open for that.
I'm going to finish this chocolate tonight, by the way, since it only has like a week left on its life expectancy.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat it tonight.
Good for you.
But anyway, I'm an achiever. But anyway, I also have heel spurs forming and problems with my Achilles tendon. So I was supposed to be wearing a boot that I could take off, but it didn't help. So now I'm in a boot for a month. Mm. But they took mercy on me. I get to have it changed out next Friday, and so that it's not like completely gross and disgusting.
But no DDR for a little bit for you.
As if. I've learned to hobble around in it, so... And I told Dan, if he pisses me off too hard, I'm going to kick him so far up the ass with this boot that he's going to be spitting up fiberglass.
What a great mental
image.
That
is true love.
All right, let's say hello to, we can't continue to ignore, of course, the one and only Techmaster Loki, also here in studio.
Hello.
Hi, how are you, Loki?
Fine.
Did you have a good week off? I know you didn't travel like Jamie and I did, but...
I tried finding stuff to do that day, but it just wasn't, nothing was lining up. There's nothing good playing in the theater, and the times just didn't line up.
Yeah.
And, like, the movies, like, they were, like, is either Transformers, which or, like, Wonder Woman, which has been fine, but they're both, like, 2.5 hours long. And it's, like, it was just,
an
I
investment.
Can't fit that yeah. in there. So I wandered around aimlessly. I tried to
That's
work on my programming stuff at, like, a Barnes & Noble, but it just wasn't happening. It wasn't happening because I was unable to plug in my laptop, and if I don't plug in this laptop, the battery just goes down super fast, and it also throttles the CPU, so it just, it was not having it. And then I
thought about you, though, because there was some game jam I was reading about the week we were gone. I forget which game jam it was, but it was about basically making clicker games.
Yeah, well, aware of that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, did you participate? Because you were thinking about it, right?
It's more casual. It's through the entire month of July.
Oh, okay.
And so, it's like click, 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 or clicker jam or something like that.
Yeah.
It's basically...
Not that we should ever be encouraging you to work on yet another project you won't finish. However, I was like, all right, well, if there's anything to divert his attention, a clicker game would be it.
I mean, so, like, I do want to participate. I am hesitant to see how much... I did sign up. I'm hesitant to see how much, if I can get anything done, because, like, if this weekend's any indicator, it's probably not very likely. Just, it's way too crazy. It just, at the end of the day, it's like, fuck this. I have no brain power. But, no, I've actually been thinking about it. Like, I had an initial idea that was more along the lines of It's Time to Car, where it's fucking crazy and weird. And then I kind of was looking for music to go along with that. Couldn't find any, ran across something else, which totally threw it in a completely different direction that's not so goofy, weird. It's just, you know, kind of cool, stylistic, I guess. But I, you know, at one point I was, you know, anticipating that there was going to be, you know, fart noises with clicks and stuff like that.
Oh, how mature.
I just haven't, you know, I don't know, maybe some. But no, I have a completely different direction with it. So I'm still in the designing idea phase right now because I want to make sure I know what I'm making before I make it. But I do want to make something.
All right. Well, good luck. I hope you finish one so we can actually play it. We'll see. Yeah. I do want to give a big thank you. My own birthday was not everybody knows this. My own birthday was 3 days after OLR, which is the whole reason why Alan and I went to Chicago in the first place, was it was supposed to be a birthday trip. But Loki just tonight surprised me with a little birthday gift here, and this is actually a coloring book based on the Golden Girls, and I thought this was fantastic. So
yeah, it goes
you.
Along with the Genital Jousting that I sent you.
Yes, I got that on Steam as well. Thank you for that. I haven't had a chance to play that yet, but I did see that, and I was like, it's a bummer this game is banned from Twitch, or I could play that on Twitch.
I'll take you up some color pencils then as my gift.
Well, yeah, and then my thought is that maybe I could actually do a Twitch feed. Because art is big on Twitch right now, so I'll actually do a Twitch feed where I color my Golden Girls coloring book, because that's about the only way you're going to get art out of me, but I'll do a creative stream.
This thing I just put in my mouth has curry in it. Oh. Curry, dark chocolate truffle. I'm going to be in trouble halfway through the show. Because, oh my God.
Did you bring your EpiPen in case? Or are you all right?
I haven't had anything that I'm allergic to.
Oh, I thought the spicer.
I gave you guys the paprika one.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So we're good.
Oh, my God.
All right. Enjoy the chocolates. We're going to get the play-by-play over there of the exotic chocolates from Chicago. All right. Tiger Claw in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, which, by the way, of course, if you are listening live, we do tape live Sunday nights at the Voice Geeks Network, vognetwork.com, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And you can participate along with comments, such as what Tiger Claw is saying to me right now. Rob Roberts, eventually you need to do one of those IRL streams on Twitch. I almost did yesterday because they built, I guess, the capability to do IRL streams right into the mobile app. Like, I guess that was a big update the Twitch thing got this week, which if you're not following me on Twitch, cheap plug, Rob Roberts, but you could also follow the VOG Network account on Twitch, and it hosts everything as they go live. But what was I going to say with that? Oh, yes. I went to round one randomly yesterday. So I thought, oh, this would be fun maybe to do an IRL stream of me around the arcade, but my cell signal in there was not so great because it is in, like, the middle of an older mall that I think has thick walls. Excuse me. So I don't think my cell signal was very great in there. So that didn't happen. Sorry. maybe next time. I'll find a Wi-Fi to tether to, and we can do that. But I've given the IRL thing some thought. I kind of think I'm kind of boring though. So I hope you guys have some good questions or ideas to make it more entertaining if I do an IRL thing at some point. So we'll see. Anyway, yeah, I know it's funny because Tiger Claw also points out Twitch's IRL is what Justin TV used to be. Yeah, it's funny how these things come full circle, isn't it? Totally is. Remember when OLR was on Justin TV?
Perhaps if they had Marathon, Pokemon, you know, Sesame, or what was it? Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Bob Ross,
they wouldn't have gone under.
Yeah, found that secret sauce a long time ago, right? All right. anyway, let's see. Going to chat over at live.fognetwork.com. Raginator says, genital jousting and a Golden Girls coloring book definitely has Rob Roberts' name written all over it. Now all he's missing is a personal visit from ABBA, the original cast of Rocky Horror Picture Show, and Cher. I've met three of the original cast of the movie, Rocky Horror. don't know if I'll ever get
and
a chance to meet
Cher. And plenty of them
Cher.
Were in the stage production.
Yes, two of the three were in the stage production. Let's see. A personal visit from ABBA, I would die. You can't even get ABBA all in one space anymore. The last time ABBA all was in one space, there was the movie premiere of Mamma Mia, but there was one time after that, not that long ago.
Can you disguise, I think the museum opening. Can you disguise yourself as a child with cancer? Because we can maybe work that.
Okay, there's some things that you don't joke about, and I think that's one of them. So there's certain lengths I'm not going to go to. Let's see. And yeah, so but we could do an IRL stream when I go to Rocky Horror sometime. I don't know if that would be appropriate for Twitch, but I guess there's one way to find out. All right, anyway. All that stuff aside, we need to talk about video games. I want to get into tonight's kickoff topic. So tonight's kickoff topic has to do with a game that was recently pulled from the PlayStation Network and the PlayStation Store. I don't know if there's anything you want to say about this, Loki, because you're the one that brought this story to my attention. But I guess there was a game on the store called Star, like 5-star, 1,000 top rated was the name of the game. As if that doesn't sound like yes, one of those like...
It's
trash games on it,
there's a,
Google Play or
ironically
Apple
enough, because I cheap plug, I watch, you know, Jim Sterling religiously, and he was the one that kind of brought this to attention. He had a whole segment about, you know, a bit about it. And yeah, there's a lot of these guys, and this is, I think, one of them that are kind of some of the ones that make the dynamic themes that are out there. Like, there's a bunch of them. They're ridiculous.
And are they like, all those ridiculous themes like you know,
anime girl themes and stuff like that?
Lady with cleavage.
I'm pretty sure.
Theme.
I think just based off the screenshots I've seen, I think this is the same one. But there are some other ones that they released. It was like, you know, big titty anime, you know, babes, but like with this really shitty Arkanoid game that was over it and stuff. And actually, this one is even worse. It's a slide puzzle game, and they have like, okay, the guy on the website is like, yeah, you can get a platinum trophy in 20 minutes. There's a walkthrough on how to do it and stuff like that. Just like being completely blatant about it and just wanting, you know, people to purchase the game to get a platinum trophy. Like anyone would give a shit that you have a platinum trophy for Star, you know, 1,000 top rated. It's ridiculous. But it's kind of this garbage that was from, you know, that you would see like on Steam, Greenlight almost. That's
wait, there's actually a trailer that's linked here, and I don't know. Oh, my. Oh, it's a minute-long trailer here, so it's just 1,000 4K images, and
it's just
slide
shit.
Puzzles. So something that somebody would make in a second. And
they're showing that you get all these trophies.
Oh, they're just advertising how easy it is to get all these trophies, including a platinum trophy as a part of that. So, and this is a 98-cent game. And that's it. It's tile puzzles that are super easy to complete, and you end up basically getting a platinum trophy as essentially a freebie, let's just call it that, out of the game that you paid 98 cents store or 98 cents for. Sony has apparently pulled the game and asked the developer to rename it and remove any mention of the trophies.
Oh, so they're going to remove the advertisement for it, but they're going to leave the game up there, it sounds like, and just rename the...
Sony gets a percentage of those profits, too, so...
That's pretty fucking lame.
So, okay, so it brings me to this question. This is the question I posed to all of you in our chat over at live.fognetwork.com as well as those of you in studio here is, so clearly this is essentially, let's call it what it is, pay a dollar, get a platinum trophy.
Yeah.
Is that something you're willing to do? How important are trophies to you?
No, it's not. It's not worth this crap being cluttered up in my... It's not even earning it. It was just like garbage. Why? Who would even care? Is it like what's that give you? Nothing. I mean, what? You rank or something? Like, what do even the ranks do? Like, nothing. I don't pay attention
on to it. On Sony, they don't really do anything. In fact, the only place I've really seen it tie to anything is on Steam. As you level up on Steam, but that's not based on achievements. So that's like, based on
like,
trading cards.
Seriously, like watching through like some of these videos that Jim Sterling has, not even necessarily just this game. There's other game. There's a lot of shit that's slipping through under the radar with Sony, like broken ass games that are appearing on their storefront. It's like, where's the fucking oversight for this stuff? It's gonna get as bad as it was on Steam. I mean, it's already pretty bad because, you know, all those games that were sitting there in, you know, green light limbo there, they approved all of them before they shut that service down. So it's a big fucking flood of thousands of games.
Okay, but let me ask this. Is this to say, now let's take this whole dollar for a platinum trophy thing out of the equation. Are trophies in general or achievements and that whole thing, do they mean anything to you? Because I feel like a lot of people read Nintendo, and I've been guilty of this too. Nintendo gets read a lot because they've ignored this whole trend. They don't have achievements and trophies in their games unless sometimes, like Smash Brothers kind of has its own little meta system. But there's nothing that overarches the entire system, is what I mean.
I play,
and Nintendo kind of gets crap for that sometimes.
There's games that I'll keep playing to try to get all the trophies in them. Uh-huh. Like Skyrim is one, uh-huh. You know, where I may just quit otherwise. I mean, it's good, like, kind of goals, like, to get to certain, you know, yeah. Do certain things to kind of see the full expanse of the game. Granted, developers can use it for really shitty purposes, and, like, not only just this, where it's super easy, there's a ton of games that, like, for example, on Steam, where loading up the game gives you, you know, a trophy. Every bullet you fire gives you a fucking trophy. Like, ridiculous shit like that. And it's just to kind of boost your levels up on their service, so it's... I don't know. It's just about using it the right way.
I feel like we have come so close to the edge of a really good idea. And Sony was kind of close to this. I think the closest idea that I always thought kind of like would benefit Nintendo very well was when Sony had PlayStation Home. Remember that? And when you got trophies in certain games, you would unlock virtual loot in PlayStation Home. Either it was a shirt or it was like an actual trophy for your house or whatever in the PlayStation Home.
Yeah, you're supposed to have a trophy room that never came.
Right. That whole thing, right? So, I mean, you know, which for the people that were super into PlayStation Home, which I remember a few years ago on the show, we had some listeners that were like super into PlayStation Home. We had an awesome little VOG clubhouse and all this stuff. And, you know, a lot of it was rewards from games. Well, okay, the reason why I bring that up and say that in the same breath as Nintendo is that Nintendo has Miitomo, right? So, and even some of this is with Tomodachi Life, right? So they've had this idea of customize your outfits on your Mii, have your room with your posters and all this. So I always kind of thought Nintendo was missing out on, oh, well, what if there was like a Miitomo type thing on Switch where you could have your virtual rewards that showed, hey, I beat, you know, Zelda Breath of the Wild, or even someday they have a virtual console thing and I beat Super Metroid, or yes, Bobby Blackwolf, I beat Chrono Trigger, and I could have those little things on the wall like posters and shirts and things.
They
and
already
I could show
have
that to
it.
My friends. Oh God, what's the punchline? What's the punchline?
They
Logan?
Already have it, except they're doing exactly what this company's doing. You're paying for those trophies. They're called Amiibos. You get your fucking trophy and you can
real
redeem
life.
It in other games, and you get your little skin saying, hey, look at me. I'm super awesome because I bought the Link Amiibo. That's what it is. I mean, it's this fucking thing, except in actually having to earn it, you go to the store, you earn that money at your day job, you go to the store, you buy your little trophy, and then you share that trophy in-game because they got to justify the cost.
You didn't do anything besides fight people in a line at GameStop to get that Amiibo. That was the achievement.
Well, nowadays with Nintendo stock, you know, maybe that is an achievement.
I just think it would
you got an SNES Mini. There's an Amiibo. The whole system should be a goddamn Amiibo, okay? You should be able to put the whole system onto stuff and have SNES stuff.
I just think it would be great if you could unlock these types of things, and then it's like your badge of honor. But, like, you know, if I have a poster or a reward I got from 5-star, 1,000 top-rated, that wouldn't mean anything. Like, I would have friends that would see that and go, what the hell's that game? Well, whatever. Oh, Chrono Trigger.
Why'd you
Ooh,
waste
Super
some money on that?
No, why'd you waste money on that? Anyway, ooh, look at these. Like, and I just think that would be so cool. Now, not
you
that
should do a live stream. Let it go really long. Just play that shitty ass game.
There's other good games that could be playing on the light. Okay, let me ask Dark Sakura, you have been a longtime gamer through many classic games and so forth. What's your stance on, in general, achievements and trophies? Do they mean anything to you? Do you use them as goals like Loki or what?
Don't give a crap.
Big mess, so you don't really care about
it. I really don't care. Yeah. I like achievements that are tangible. That, you know, like, if I got an achievement in a game and suddenly it gave me one of these delicious chocolates, that would be a worthwhile. That would feel like a fucking reward. Or it's like, you've got the high score in this game. You get a pedicure. Okay, that would be tangible. That would be something.
You want real life rewards for things.
That would be something that adds value to my life.
Yeah, that would be great.
You know, unlike where I get an award at work and I get like points to get work swag or something, or, you know, kudos that make me hireable for another position. A kudo in a game is like, okay, I did a thing that I was going to do anyway. I don't care. The only time that I've ever been kind of antsy on doing one is one that... Actually, there is a game I was interested in achievements in for a while, and that was WoW.
Oh, okay, so World
because
of Warcraft.
Because I would eventually, for some of them, I'd get something from it.
Like a mount. Okay.
Or, you know, that dumb little pug dog.
So we need
something. For putting up with other people.
We need something like maybe there could be a mobile phone app that would generate QR codes you could take to the store. So, like, for example, you just beat Dead or Alive Extreme Volleyball 2.
You get a boob job.
Take this barcode to Rite Aid for a tub of KY and a pack of socks.
Well.
They sell socks there?
Yes.
Yes, they do, actually.
But still, I would like a tangible reward for it. Something that enriches my life apart from just ego fapping.
Okay. I think that's a great idea, though, is that, like, you could actually get, like, little rewards. Why not? There was that Foursquare or Swarm or whatever it is. You can check into Chili's and you get free chips and salsa. Mm-hmm. Doesn't Facebook kind of have stuff like this, too? It used to be. Well, it used to be this way. I don't think they still do.
Well, there was a thing with Dan's work that if, like, this was at... Outback, that if, like, their driver in NASCAR won a race, then you got, like, a free Bloomin' Onion or something.
Oh, yeah, they do that with the Kings here locally. When the Kings actually win a game, you get, like, a free taco at Jack in the Box. Or is it Carl's
Jr.? Win-win. There's no way it's ever going
to happen. Exactly, and it's like they never have to give away tacos. No, it's tacos are for the Sharks. When they score a goal... In the last 2 minutes of the second quarter or second period, you get tacos from Jack in the Box. I remember that's a thing. The Carl's Jr. was.
Why would they punish their fans like that?
Well, some people live. You should have been there when they fucking scored a goal and everybody got a fucking taco.
Sweet crabby tacos.
Well, at any like,
you know,
those
don't cost hardly anything.
I think it's the NASCAR one is a bit better because that has a lower chance because what's 18 drivers, 20
mm-hmm.
something drivers.
Yeah, yeah.
And then to have their sponsored car win that many Bloomin' Onions for people who'd go in, you know.
Yeah.
But at any rate, that's besides the point. You know,
we wonder why we have an obesity problem in America.
I like a reward that enriches my life instead of ego fapping, which is going to be my official term for it now. Ego fapping.
Isn't there a guy called that on YouTube?
I don't care.
All right. Anyway, moving on. Bobby Blackwell says that barcode, talking about my trip to Rite Aid, that barcode gets copied on the internet and then they run out of socks. No, it would be unique code. Like what? They can generate codes for unlockable items in Final Fantasy 14 by going to store or any pre-order bonus you open in a manual.
Cup noodle.
Just unique codes. Would that be so difficult?
It should be like a single-use coupon.
Yeah. And then, like,
but once the coupon's redeemed, it's no longer valid.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, Dungeon Buster goes on to say in our chat, as much crap as Ubisoft's Uplay gets, I like what it does with its achievement points by turning it into currency you can use to get DLC extra.
I do like that.
I have to. Yeah, I do like that too. Like, you can get
really see that's
remixes and Just Dance
a reward.
So, yeah. Okay.
That's a reward.
So let's go back to the Nintendo thing for a minute because they kind of. Like have half of this already, right? In Miitomo, you answer enough questions, you do whatever, you get the coins,
yeah.
That you can then buy special outfits.
Miitomo,
right? But can't Nintendo put this idea in other stuff too? I mean, Mario Run had it, right? You get the trophies in your little town. So, I mean, virtual rewards then. All the socks, because they're digital socks.
But, like, looking, and this is actually fresh in my mind because of Steam. Like, I know that now Steam is giving you these stupid stamps that are like, you get a discount on a game that you don't give a shit about.
The stamps get you discounts? I thought the stamps were, like, literally.
I don't know. I get stuff sent to my, you know. There's, like, a whole bunch of crap cluttering my inventory with all these discounts.
I've gotten some crazy discounts for some stuff. And only, like, I've only ever used the discount, like, once. Even though I did only buy two things in the Steam sale, but I'm going to go into that in my gaming
week. I did like the article they read where people are using this, of course, true fashion. People are using the stickers to make erotic scenes in their little...
because, of course. Because of course, internet. You know, because, of course.
It's the internet. Of course
you're
going to do
that. Because, of course. Let's see. VidPower in chat says somebody put ego fapping on Urban Dictionary stat, but that's followed up with Raginator says put in Chivo fapping if it ain't already there, and Eric RPG says trophy stroking. Great. Look what we've started here at OLR. Anyway, I was just kind of curious what you all felt about this, you know, because achievements were brand new 10 years ago on the Xbox 360, or 12, whatever, on the Xbox 360, and now it's like we've been that's a part of our gaming world now.
People expect it.
Yeah.
People would, you know, try to run after those, you know, especially with achievement points because they gave you a score. Trophies, I don't think so much because now it's more of like a level and the number of platinums you have. So that's not so much. But like, I know, like with achievement points, it's like, oh, I can get 1,000 achievement points in that game, or, you know, oh, they upped it to 1,250 now.
Well, even Microsoft themselves, remember when Rare Replay was first advertised? Even Microsoft themselves was like over 30,000 achievement points available or something. I don't remember what the exact number was because some of the games being arcade hits are like only 200. But you know what I mean? Like there was like a pretty good number of achievement points available in that game. And that was a selling point when they showed that original trailer at that
E3. Why not mention? I mean, who cares? I mean,
some people love that stuff.
Some people need their ego fapped.
That's right. But even, you know what? I enjoy the occasional ego fap because, like, for example, games that I play a lot of, Ingress and Pokemon Go, right, the AR games. I like there's a little fake badge collection in Ingress, and I like collecting those. Like, that's a lot of fun. And some of them, yeah, I've paid real money for badges. But for me, they're a symbol of I participated in this event. I went to Chicago. I played in this anomaly.
It's your participation.
It's my participation award. Trophy. Yay, millennials. Or what's Zennial. The term for us? Zennials. We're Gen X, but we feel close.
Which I still feel my year should have been included with that. But the category was like, if you were alive when or if you were like an infant when Star Wars came out.
Yeah.
And I was
which
an
I was.
Infant.
So.
No, you weren't born when Star Wars came out.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right. I was, I'm thinking the later films in the trilogy.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. The generation talk is for another episode. A lot of that is silly.
I almost
anyway,
bought
but...
a cane so I could shake it at people.
Anyway, what else was I going to say in chat? Over at live.fognetwork.com, let's see. Dungeon Buster points out Nier Automata allows you to buy all of the achievements except one at one point in the game. Oh, I remember that discussion that had come up on a previous episode. That's very true. Very true. Oh, with the Ingress and Pokemon Go. So the Ingress has the fake badges. Pokemon Go now with this new redo of – I'm sorry. I'm spoiling a little bit of what we're going to get into in a little bit in the news. But now you can collect gym badges, right? So when you go to a gym and you spin a gym for the first time, you get a badge in your profile that shows you've been to that gym. And you can level up that badge as you're doing – you know, the fights at the gyms and all this stuff. So this is all part of the makeover that, Loki, I know you'll get into later.
And then you can link those badges together to create a field.
That's the wrong game, Loki. But anyway, so for the badges in Pokemon Go, now it's kind of like I like collecting them on my profile because that whole thing went live when I was in Chicago. So, like, everybody knows the fucking bean in Chicago, right? The big metallic – it's what they call it, Cloud Gate, I think is the official name of that thing. But it's at Millennial Park, right? So that was, like, one of the first gym badges I got was the bean. And so I think that's kind of cool that that's in my profile. And that's very similar to Ingress. When you do missions, you can get a little sticker that showed like, oh, you did a mission in Washington, D.C. at the Smithsonian or something like that. So now I've kind of made it this thing where like I really want to collect gym badges. And I was out playing Pokemon Go with one of my pals today who doesn't play a lot of video games but does play Pokemon Go. And now we've kind of turned it into this like ego war between us that like he's like, well, I have 79 gym badges. How many do you have? And I'm like, I have 48, but I'm going to be working on kicking your ass because I know where to go thanks to the other game to find all the gyms. So now that's becoming like a little what is it? Ego fapping? Ego fapter thing between us. So, there you go. Anything else you want to say on Dark Soccer is too busy eating chocolate.
Oh my god.
Hoping for a partnership.
So okay, get this one. The one I'm eating now has macadamia nuts, Sri Lankan coconut, 45% cacao dark milk chocolate. It tastes like
snobs.
It tastes like hipster.
And it's delicious. All right. Let's talk a little bit about our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week, since I'm starting to get into it anyway with this Pokemon Go chat. But Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
I play Pokemon Go. I've been playing Miitomo. I'm playing Sailor Moon Drops and Dragon Ball Dokken, whatever that card game is. But now I've really been getting into Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2. I know I'm a little late to the game, but the Steam sale put it for like almost half price. So I got like the full DLC and everything. And I'm really enjoying it. I'm enjoying it far more than I thought I would. I thought that I was just going to have, oh, happy nerd moment, play it for like a little bit and be done. Oh, no. The game is like 90% like button mashing, you know, fighting in space and fan service. And the other part of it is incoherent screaming, which is Dragon Ball in a nutshell. And I love every moment. I'm playing it in Japanese.
Do you scream back?
No. Well, my character does. You know, and I'm just really, and like I've been going around and like there's NPCs in the game and some of their names are puns and it's fun. And it's just like so much old school fan service that I've gotten this like crazy nostalgic feeling, and it's been so happy and I've really enjoyed it. And the only thing is that there's certain things that aren't translated and I'm only understanding half of it. So I've been going and actually using it to take a moment to study. So it's been really helpful that way. And I played a little WoW, not like a whole lot, because honestly, I'm kind of bored with Legion right now. Even though like they've I started the LFR for the Sargeras tomb, which is pretty good. I mean, I'm going to try to level up again. I think I'm like at item level 894 right now, so pretty up there. But no one ever plays. And then I also went to Shane's and played the Danganronpa V3 demo, which is really great. I mean, some of the stuff was funny, and I was making fake translations. Like, I would translate the stuff that I could tell what they were saying for real. But, like, two of the characters from, like, one of the other games, like, Makoto from the first game shows up, and then Hinata from the second game shows up, and they're, like, with you to be, like, your senpai in-game. That's what they quite literally said. But I'm still translating, like, I still don't know what I'm doing in this game. This is apparently a sequel, blah, blah, blah. And it was really fun, and I like the new, the thought drive, I think it was it's called, or logic drive. I have to look it up again. But it's basically where you're playing Outrun in a really, like, hyper-neon 80s, like, car with all the background and everything. But you have to run through, like, different letters to form your idea, and then you have to answer questions. It's really fun. I suggest it for fans of the series. Get the demo, try it out. You'd have to read a little bit to know what the answers are, but don't worry about it. It's just super fun. And the voice acting is great. And I recognize a few of the voice actors too. But I'm really excited then for Danganronpa V3 to come out. I picked up, also with the Steam sale, Ultra Despair Girls came out, and it wasn't on sale, but I bought it anyway, even though I already have the Vita version for my PlayStation TV. But I figured it'd be easier to play on my computer where I can use a mouse for choosing the bullets to use and everything. So, yay for another game. I'm not going to get to play for a while, but that's my gaming week.
All right. We will move on then to Loki. How was your gaming week?
I wish I played more, but I didn't. I watched a lot of YouTube this week because I'm just like that, I guess. But I did want to mention, though, speaking of YouTube, and I did try to work on games this week. I mostly just thinking about them, one longtime, guy that was on our show has come back to start doing YouTube videos again. So Maximilian Moreau with Pushy Pixels is back, and he's started doing more videos.
Was that Cooking with Unity?
Cooking with Unity, yeah. Yes, absolutely. So he started working on a Space Invaders clone.
Neat.
And he's been doing that. So, yeah, definitely go support him because I know he's had a lot of real-life issues that have kind of put him off for a while. So he's finally made it back, which, you know, I think is fantastic. So definitely fun to check that out. But actual games I've been playing, all sadly mobile games, because that's
where things are going these days.
And I joked, you know, when they're, you know, I was talking about the clicker, you know, thing on Twitter, the whole jam. I'm like, yeah, if I can pull myself away from the clicker games that I'm playing now, and that's what I'm playing, including right now, I am playing the stupid Office Space clicker game. And the reason why I think it's so it's a lot of strategy involved with it because they do these little events that you basically can earn some of the stuff that you would normally pay in-game money for. So, like, the different card packs to boost your floor values and stuff. So you can actually earn.
Is that it for your game of the week?
No.
Oh.
Pokemon Go. I'll go into more of that later because a lot of it would have to do with the raid stuff. So I actually did a raid against a Magikarp. It's like, you may need 5 people for this. I'm like, I don't think I do.
No, you don't, yeah.
And so I was able to beat it with one Pokemon, and it was stupid. And then, sadly, that's it, yeah.
All right, I think Jamie wants to interrupt here with another chocolate.
I interrupt this gaming week to say I'm eating the last of the chocolates.
That's the last, oh my God, that's the last one already?
I can't help it. They're so good.
There was only like 9 of them, I think, yeah.
Well, and I ate 8. This is
the number 8. Which one did you save for last?
This one is hazelnuts and 45% cacao dark milk chocolate. Because my favorite is hazelnut.
That sounds like a good standard to say for last.
So I offer this tribute to myself. Thank you.
Thank you for kitty sitting. Thank you for kitty sitting Sanrio while we were away.
My pleasure, but thank you for the chocolate.
All right. Hope it's good. I'm just waiting to see the reaction here. And then I'll All right. Let me get into my game of the week. So because I was gone for a week, I didn't really play as many games as I probably should have. I was hanging out with some gaming podcasters you guys might remember, though. Delvin from Video Game Realness, which they've been doing shows sparingly here and there. But we were hanging out a lot during the week. And then my pals from the show Koopa Club, which they stopped about a year or so ago. But I was getting to hang out with all them in Chicago, so that was a lot of fun. But as far as like actual game playing, around the trip, I've been playing Final Fantasy XIV Stormblood because of the expansion. I talked a little bit about that last week. A lot has, 2 weeks ago when we were doing our show, a lot of that has stabilized, thank heavens, since the launch of the game. They're not having a lot of the network issues they were having previously. Some sparingly on the more crowded servers, but I'm not on one of the crowded servers, so I'm not really having a lot of the issues. But I'm kind of just taking my sweet-ass time through the content because everybody else kind of raced to 70, so I wasn't going to win that race, so I'm trying to treat it a little more as a marathon than a sprint. So I'm like level 67, but the content I'm doing is like only level 64. I mean, for those that have been playing, I'm in Yanxia. I just got there to that zone. So I've been kind of playing around with that a little bit. Outside of MMOs, I've been playing just a little bit of other stuff. When I was on the plane, you want to talk about random? For whatever reason, I had my 3DS and I was going through my NES classics. I started playing Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link, you know, that Zelda NES game, the one that a lot of people really don't like because it's too hard. I just wanted to be like, how far can I remember
this
game?
So that way, if like the plane were to go down, you'd be like, at least I can stop playing this fucking game.
Something like that.
At least you're some good out of this.
No, I actually played through the first palace. I found the second palace, and I think that's finally when I was like, you know what, I'm going to go watch more Riverdale. But I was pretty impressed with how much I actually remembered, but God, those palaces, especially when you get to the second palace, I'm like, oh my God, there's so many more hallways and all this stuff than I remember. Like, I need a Nintendo Power that has the picture of what it looks like because I'm pretty sure I used those back in the day to actually beat that stinking game. So it's kind of hard when it's like all in your head and you're trying to remember, okay, like, or I have a system that's like, I always go as far down and as far to the left. It's kind of like that whole to solve a maze, always make left turns, and you eventually you'll find the exit, like something like that. So I was trying to do something like that with Zelda, and it was, it's just, God, that second palace is like gigantic. So I got stuck a little bit on that, and finally I was like, I'm going to go watch more TV. Other than that, I took a random trip to Round 1 yesterday. So I saw our pals from Game Buoy here at VOG Network. I met up with them at Round 1. And you know, when we go to Round 1, we play lots of Japanese music games, including I played the crap out of Theatrhythm, and still loving that. I played some Sound Voltex as well, some Beatmania 2DX, Cinebuzz. Or I keep wanting to say Cinnabon. But yeah, I was playing some of those games. So yeah, I got some arcade time in. But as far as like other console stuff, I admittedly have not played a lot. I've not got sucked into the Steam sale. I kind of, again, me being out of town, I kind of missed most of that.
Yeah, you know, I've looked
at it. I've been eyeing some things, but when's the last, is the last day tomorrow or is the last day the 5th?
I think it might be the 5th, but like I've been looking at stuff. I think I may have, I can't remember. I did purchase, aside from Genital Jousting, I purchased.
Thank you for that gift. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. I thought it'd be funny. I purchased, I think I got the, what was it? The, that Lord of the Rings game. God, I can't remember what it's called.
Lord of the Fallen?
No, the one that's like Arkham, but it's, the fuck is it called? I can't remember, but it's the big Lord of the Rings game. They have a sequel coming out. They showed it at E3 this year, but it was down to like $3 and something for the Game of the Year edition.
Shadow of Mordor.
Thank you, Shadow of Mordor. I was like, I can't remember the name. But yeah, Shadow of Mordor was down to like $3 or $4 so for the Game of the Year edition. So I was like, yep, I'll jump on that. I don't think I really purchased much else, just because, I don't know, I didn't know what I wanted, really. I was like, I have a PC that can run all this stuff now, which I play? I don't know.
Ragenator in chat is confirming that the 5th is the last day for the sale, and I know he knows his stuff when it comes to Steam sales, so there you go. So I have a little time left to still get in on that, so that's good. There are some things I'm eyeing. I'm looking at my wish list and trying to figure out what I might finally buy.
By the way, if you don't necessarily want to get it on Steam, it's also $4 on the PlayStation sale
well,
as well.
Yeah, that's the other thing is that like Microsoft's having a big sale. PlayStation's having a big sale. I just picked up on PlayStation like... They had the classic Pac-Man, Galaga, Dig Dug, and you know I'm a sucker for classic games, and that was only like four, like not even $4, like $3.50 for like all three of those games. So I was like, eh, what the hell, which is, you know, what they're banking on people to do, but you know, I picked those up easy. So it is interesting how other companies are matching the Steam sale, basically trying to get a little bit of that Steam and what's going on over there. So but I'm eyeing a few things on Steam. I'll probably get suckered into buying before the sale is over. So there's that. So let's see. Bobby Blackwolf says Oculus also had their sale, but it ended yesterday. SSG100 Matt points out Amazon Prime Day is the 11th. So keep that in mind. Well, get this. So one of my monitors that I use to play games, my monitor on the right side, is dying. Like it flickers really bad now when I turn it on. Like it'll stabilize after 30 minutes. It's doing exactly what the studio monitor does. It's like it's just getting old. So I'm like, maybe this is a sign it's finally time for Rob to go to 4K. So I'm gonna see if they have any good deals on Amazon Prime Day.
Honestly, if I don't know about 4K, it seems like people are going over 4K. They're doing the higher frame rate monitors, so like G-Sync monitors and stuff like that, because it seems more bang for the buck. But I don't know. Maybe. I don't have a 4K display, so I can't.
Yeah, I don't know. I was kind of sold on Microsoft's thing that 4K gaming's where it's at. I don't know. So that's something I should get for my PC. I know I'm going to need another graphics card, too, but you guys hear how much PC games I play, and I use a lot on the PC to stream. So, you know, why not? I think that's the direction I want to move in. Tiger Claw suggests getting an ultra-wide monitor. I don't know. Dungeon Buster says New Egg has a sale on right now. Yeah, I'm thinking about that. Speaking of streaming, I guess I can say this. So guess what husband got me as a birthday present sitting in the other room? A green screen.
That's right. That's so awesome.
I got a green screen from Husb to set up for when I'm doing streaming. So I don't – like honestly, my concern is I'm like, this thing is too fucking big. It's not going to fit with both of us in the office. But he seems to think he knows a way to get it to work. So yeah, pretty soon on my – stream, I'll actually have, instead of being able to see Alan behind me as he's coming, I'll have the green screen so I can put, you know, boobies or packages or whatever I want in the or 8-bit games
or more images of yourself,
the satellite of Vogue, yes. Or yes, more images of myself. I'll
just keep mirroring the same thing, just do like the infinite tunnel
effect. I like that. I just do the tunnel stuff there. So all right, so yeah, that's something I got to set up pretty soon there. So, All right, that's it for my gaming week. Let's get into some housekeeping. I do have some housekeeping tonight. I have a little bit of it, actually. So, first off, I want to give a shout-out to the Pokemon Go podcast, which is on iTunes. And I know there's a lot of people listening to them because there's a lot of people that are playing Pokemon Go. And with a name like Pokemon Go podcast, they're pretty easy to find.
It's prime real estate.
It's
right
prime
there.
Real estate. That's the when I ran into
Video Game Show.
I think there was a show on All Games. I think they're still going called Video Games Show. There was a show called Video Game News Radio, I think was the name of it. And then there's Video Games Show, I think is still going. I must confess I haven't checked in a while. There's so many podcasts, but I know they hit 10 years. I know they were one of the podcasts that crossed the 10-year mark. Somebody in chat will probably jump in there. Bobby Blackwolf confirms it is still going. Well, congrats to them, because that means they've got to be on at least like year 12 or 13 themselves, so congrats for them. But anyway, what was I going to say with all that? Pokemon Go podcast. So it was funny. I ran into – so I know one of the guys, Charles, because he's always at Dragon Con. And, you know, so I ran into him there at the podcasting track. And I actually remember talking to him there. I was like, that's some prime real estate you got there with Pokemon Go podcast. And he's like, yeah, yeah. So because they've been – you know, they jumped on the opportunity to do it right away. Well, anyway, he remembered us having that conversation. And they had an opening on the show this week because one of their hosts was participating in Nerdtacular this weekend. So I was sitting in as a guest host. And I was really happy and honored to be there. So I hope you all check that out. It's episode 51 of the Pokemon Go podcast. And I got to talk a lot about Ingress because there wasn't as much familiarity with that game over there since, you know, but that's something I've played for a while. So I got to kind of talk about how the games have kind of impacted each other and the differences since they are both Niantic games.
It'll be interesting to see how much Pokemon Go plays a factor in what Ingress 2.0 becomes.
And that is, you know, I didn't really get to get into that enough because obviously I didn't want to dominate the whole, it was their show, I'm just a guest. But for me personally, that is a real fascinating element is now what is Pokemon Go going to do to Ingress with the 2.0 that there will be an Ingress 2.0. It is coming. It's not a secret. And it's probably coming by the end of the year. So I'm very, very curious about that as a fan of both games. So anyway, shout out to Pokemon Go podcast. Check out episode 51. And if you enjoyed my presence on the show, be sure to let them know. Wink. Outside of that, something very exciting for VOG Network I want to mention is that this week, VOG Network, we have launched our official Discord. So we have a Discord for VOG Network. Now, I know it's very easy to set up a Discord, and I know many people have their own Discords, and that's fantastic. In fact, I know some other shows on the network have their own Discords. That is awesome. This is not being set up to compete with any of that stuff in any way. But we thought, you know, some of the stuff that we've given to networking as podcasts, maybe we could do for networking as gamers, networking as Twitch streamers, networking as podcast producers. So if you want to join in on our Discord, you can. It's very easy to get to. Just go to vognetwork.com/discord, or when you're on the VOG network at vognetwork.com, you can just go to under participate. There's a link that says Discord, and you can join our Discord. And if you don't know what Discord is, it's a chat app that you can use on both your mobile phone and on your desktop. It's a lot like Slack, which I know is very popular. It's a lot like that. But Discord is catered a little more towards gamers and has voice chat in it. So we thought, oh, this would be a really great way for when we're live streaming to be able to invite some people that watch the streams to chat with us. And in fact, this is exactly how it played out. So I ended up pulling the curtain back on this a couple days early. And it was one of those do the crime now, ask for forgiveness from Bobby Blackwolf later, because a situation came up on the live stream where Shane and I were playing Final Fantasy 14, but we wanted to help somebody else who was watching, who was on our server. One of the guys I know, he listens to this show, Free Kill Zero, was watching and needed some help with Titan, so we were offering to help, but we're like, we need a place where we can all chat so we can talk. So here we go. We got VOG Network Discord, so we all went over there, and that's why we ended up kind of putting the lid on that early. But the cool thing also with the VOG Network Discord is that now whenever a show goes live, you'll get a chat message. Whenever a new podcast gets posted, whether it's a gaming show or not, because we have lots of non-gaming shows that are awesome on the network, like Hooked on Bond, Pod Culture. You know, we got a lot of great non-gaming shows on the network as well. Anytime a new podcast gets posted, you're going to get notified in the Discord about it. Anytime a new article or TV review gets posted, those are going to come very soon as well. So you'll be able to see that as well, all in our Discord server. So by all means, check it out and sign up. There's certainly no cost or anything like that. So come be a part of the community at vognetwork.com/discord and get the latest on when we will be doing new things and new projects. The one thing I do want to stress with that, IRC is not changing at this time. Our chat during the show that we do at live.vognetwork.com, that's not changing. The IRC channel is not going away. We see Discord more as a replacement of sorts for the forums, which are kind of dead more than anything. We're not going to delete the forums, but we're not oblivious to the fact that no one's really using them because we just live in an internet day and age now where things are a little more immediate. So Discord's going to kind of be testing the waters for that. But we still will be using live.vognetwork.com for you to chat along with the shows live on Sunday nights, because with Discord, you have to make an account. Not everybody necessarily wants to do that. But the nice thing about live.vognetwork.com, if you want to chat with the show, you go in there, you type in your name, done. You can get in our chat room right there on the web applet. And that's a little easy, and we don't want to get rid of that easiness anytime soon. I'm not going to lie, IRC may not be around forever. Once we find an acceptable alternative, we may explore replacing it. But at this time, it's not going anywhere. Going to our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. They're still talking about the they're suggesting the ultra wide monitors in there, and it's kind of going back and forth a little bit on the ultra wide monitors and if that's good or not. ActDef says they don't really work well with gaming. Tiger Claw says, but there are games that support ultra wide. If I was like maybe an artist or maybe for like an ultra wide monitor at work would kick ass, but. Yeah, for gaming, I don't know. Maybe. What do you guys think about those ultra-wide monitors? Have you seen them? It's like one monitor that's two in one.
I know they are.
Yeah. Do you like them?
I haven't used one much, but they're nice.
Yeah.
I like having my two monitors.
Yeah, I still kind of like – there's something about the two monitors. But I just talked about old school and new school. Maybe I'll have to change my way of thinking sometime. So
if I had a desktop, I'd probably have all sorts of fancy shit like that. But yeah. I'm using a laptop. But my laptop screen's 17 inch, so that's pretty big. I mean,
that's true.
It's not ultra wide, and I have seen some ridiculous shit that Asus put out with, you know, their I think it was Asus, where it was like a three monitor setup for a laptop, which is a little fucking weird, but someone's gonna use it, I'm sure.
All right, so I got my plugs out there. Vogue Network Discord, Pokemon Go podcast. So check them both out. So now it's time for us to get into some gaming news, which Loki, we keep talking about Pokemon Go. I guess it's a good thing we have it here in the first slot of the show tonight, right, Loki?
Yes, it is. So I can talk a little bit more about my gaming week. So they made the big update to the Pokemon Go gyms. So now instead of being able to stack that shit full of all sorts of, you know, Pokemon that are, you know, large CP and HP, you can now only put six Pokemon in there, and they all have to be different. So that's good. And then when you fight each one, they have like a little heart meter that goes down. It basically kind of wears them out, and then as that goes down, their CP drops, and eventually they get weaker and weaker. But you can also boost them if you are on the same team by feeding them berries and that type of stuff. And then one of the things you do also, which is kind of nice, is all those Pokemon gyms are also now Pokestops. So you can actually spin them like you can a Pokestop, which is pretty awesome. And then...
Oh, can I just say with that? Because here's a tip. Because yeah. I mentioned this earlier. Now I'm in a rivalry to collect those gym badges. So when you get a gym badge, they go in your profile. And this is pretty cool if you haven't seen this. Go to your profile in Pokemon Go. Tap on your face to see your profile. Tap on the all for the badges, and then in the lower left corner of the screen that shows all your badges, well, for one, you can sort that screen so you can see if you want to sort by defender in the bottom right, you can actually see where all the gyms are that you have Pokemon defending right now, which is nice. But in the lower left is a map icon, and it'll actually show a very rudimentary map of the United States. But, I mean, unfortunately, it's not like Google Satellite or anything. You don't see anything underneath it. But I'm hoping that in time, maybe there will be some type of basic layers under that. But you can actually see where all the gyms are that you have badges for. So for me, it's really cool because I can see, like, I have eight gyms in Chicago, just the badges. I'm not controlling them, but I just happen to have the badges, like proof that I visited the Bean when I was in Chicago. And I even have one at the Vegas airport when I was coming home. So I just think that's really cool that you can actually get a map of all those places you've been to. So the feature not everybody's noticed.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. One of the new things, though, is raids. So what raids are these multiplayer kind of PvE things where you fight a Pokemon that has a really high CP. And you can do it up to teams up to 20. Although the ones I've done, I've just soloed through them and
13 people on Lapras yesterday. We did a, there was a last, or no, well, Friday, there was a last minute Ingress farm. So there was like 20 of us Ingress players that all showed up over at Chicken Farm, right? So we went over to Chicken Farm, and so of course we're getting ready to start, and like, you know, you go through great lengths to make sure the opponents don't know that you're there waiting for the farm to start. And all of a sudden, just before we're about to start, somebody goes, Lapras! And like just a bunch of people take off for this, like, this particular gym that's down the street by one of the CD bars. And like there's then a car pulls up. So there's like 10 of us Ingressers that were there for the farm, and a car of three people, and we all took on Lapras, and that thing fucking melted with 13 of us. It was awesome. And I didn't catch the son of a bitch, because I guess they've lowered the capture rate, so some of those four-star Pokemon are really hard to catch.
Yeah, so that's the thing. So you do the raid, so you fight the Pokemon, you know, with your six Pokemon. You can play with up to 20 people. And then after you're done, I think the number of balls you get are based off of, like, how well you do, so like how much damage you deal, that type of thing. And so you, once you're done, you get an opportunity to try to catch whatever it was that was in the gym, which is kind of nice, because some of the stuff that's in there is, you know, pretty, you know, like hard to get. I mean, so it was kind of nice to be able to get some of those things. So, but yeah, they are pretty weak. Like I had one, it was like just a dark red, you know, with this like crappy ball. I'm like, can I? I'm going to use this super, because they have a new berry. So I'm going to use this super berry and see if that works. And it's like, fuck your super berry. I'm still knocking this shit out of my way. It's like,
yeah, I fed that fucking Lapras like four golden berries and it didn't
work.
It's
like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this golden berry shit? It's like,
a golden berry will also completely heal a Pokemon in a gym, as opposed to just a little boost. Just a tip there.
Okay.
If you want to use it for that. But don't forget also, when you're doing raids, use those magic candies. I forget what they're called, like any candy or whatever. Like, use them. Like, don't fucking let them take up space in your inventory. If you're walking a Dratini so you can get enough for your Dragonite, do those 1 or 2 star raids every day so you get some of those candies and make them Dratini candies so you can get your Dragonite. Like, that stuff is really helping. Now my big thing is I finally hatched a Tyranitar this week, so there's that. Now it's Porygon. Fucking Porygon and all those – like, I have, like, 4 or 5 of those stupid upgrades so I can get a Porygon 2.0. But, like, since you – which – isn't it weird that Porygon's not on gyms? You would think that would be one of the raid things that people need, but they're not really showing up.
Wait, with Magikarp.
I get why Magikarp's there, because those mons that you catch on gyms are wonders. So that's a good – somebody told me Magikarps aren't in eggs anymore. I didn't realize that. Huh. Magikarps aren't in eggs anymore. So Magikarps on a gym is the only way you can somewhat guarantee yourself a high IV Magikarp that you'll ultimately turn into a Gyarados. So there's that.
What else I was going to say about that? So, yeah, those are – it's pretty neat. The other thing, though, that they kind of got rid of, though they said, I guess you earn coins now every 10 minutes that your Pokemon defends a gym. So you can rack up coins that way.
Do you know how easy it is to get the 50 coin cap now? Like, go take gyms at 11 o'clock at night. Not that I should be encouraging you to play these games in the dark. But, you know, get some gyms in neighborhoods at 11 o'clock at night when it's less likely that kids will be out to take them right back. And by the time you wake up in the morning, your Pokemon will get knocked off and you'll have 50 coins. Because you only have to sit on a gym for like 8 hours. Now, they dropped the max from 100, which does have some feathers ruffled. Like I noticed in chat, SSJ100 Matt says, I'm not really too happy about only being able to get 50 coins max a day, despite how many Pokemon you have in gyms. There are some things they could do better with this system. Like, it does kind of suck that you could end up getting a Pokemon, like, trapped on a gym for days and days and days because nobody's going to knock it off, and you can't get coins from it. So we were talking a little bit about this on Pokemon Go podcast this week, and it was suggested that, well, it would be nice if you could go back to that gym and, like, cash out from that Pokemon. That would be really awesome, but not there yet. So I think the system, for me, this system is a huge improvement, but there's still things that could be done better.
Yeah.
But I think in all, I'm really enjoying it because it makes me feel like I can play the gym game, and I'm not having to knock down a gym of fucking 10 Pokemon where 8 of them are Blissey's.
Like, or it was like even more than like 20 Pokemon, just some ridiculous amount of Pokemon.
Yeah, gross. So now,
and then you have to play through it like a million times before it finally knocks the levels down.
But some of the Pokemon players are having problems with this because it's like, if somebody really wants a gym, they'll take it. There's nothing you can really do. But welcome to the game of Ingress that I've been playing for a while. If somebody really wants a portal, they'll take it. and there's not a lot you can do about it. So,
can you remotely recharge? You can't remotely recharge.
No, you cannot. So, anyway, I'm enjoying the changes, but I do see improvements, especially with the coin redemption. I absolutely think you should be able to go check in with Pokemon and withdraw coins.
And even still, with the whole like new gyms and everything, there's still no real scoring system. There's nothing like, you know, Ingress where you can see the score for your team or anything like that. There's nothing. So it's
That would still be nice to see.
It's slightly better than useless now.
Yes. It's playable.
Yeah. And it's okay. So on top of that, real quick, I wanted to mention, along with these new features, they made some tweaks for people that they catch cheating. So, you know, they found new ways to punish players who have caught Pokemon using third-party software. They said that they're going to appear marked with a slash in the inventory and may not behave as expected. With the announcement of raid battles and new battle features, we are staying true to our commitment to ensure Pokemon Go continues to be a fun and fair experience for all trainers. Starting today, Pokemon caught using third-party services that circumvent normal gameplay will appear marked with a slash in the inventory and may not behave as expected. We are humbled by the excitement for all new features that we announced yesterday, blah, 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 blah.
Fuck spoofers, fuck spoofers, fuck spoofers. If you are playing Pokemon Go as a spoofer, fuck you. No, it's not fun. It's like these games are about getting up and going out and exploring the world around you. If you're sitting doing it on your computer, you are contributing nothing. Go fuck yourself. And I am so happy that Niantic is doing things to fuck with you people, because I fucking hate this bullshit in Ingress and I hate this bullshit in Pokemon Go. Spoofers, go to hell. And that's how I feel about it. How do you feel about it, Loki?
I'm not that bent out of shape about it because I don't really play.
No, it's like cheating in an MMO. You don't fucking do it.
It doesn't bother me personally, though, because it's not like Ingress where like it actually there's a score to the game. There's no real game yet to it. So
it is infuriating when 40 people work together to put up a field and one ass dickhead in his mom's basement with no pants on takes it down.
I'm saying, yes, I agree. That is crap in Ingress and cheaters suck. Yeah. But in Pokemon Go, there's no scoring or anything, so it doesn't really bother me yet. When there's an actual game and scores and stuff like that, then that might be a different story. But yes, cheating still sucks.
ActDeft in chat says spoofers are bad and they should feel bad. Look, if you want to run your own copy of Pokemon Go on your own server where you can do whatever you want in one player mode, go fucking do whatever makes you happy.
Pokemon Go is made in Unity. Make your own fucking Pokemon Go.
Brad from Pod Culture says, Rob Roberts, what about folks who are mobility impaired and can't get out? I think Pokemon Go has gone to lengths to ensure that, I mean, if you're mobility impaired, wouldn't you still be able to go to wheelchair accessible areas? Like, you know, all parks, as far as I know, unless you're, you know, it's a mountain or something, you can use a wheelchair to get around.
You can still play at home.
Yeah, you can still play.
You can just buy Pokeballs and throw them at the critters that walk by. But what was I going to say? Really, the way they should be punishing these people that cheat in those games, they should have to play Garfield Go.
Yes, you should have to be... play Garfield Go. Absolutely. So Brad continues on there. For many months I had mobility issues and couldn't drive. It's one of those things where I feel sympathy for that situation, and that's really unfortunate. But that doesn't give somebody the right to then go and play this game on easy mode that a lot of people are having to really work to, you know, take down things like gyms and stuff like that. Like, I just don't think it excuses the act of spoofing at the end of the day. There are still things that you can do, you know, in certain parks and other publicly accessible areas. You know, it's one of those things where, like, I feel sympathy, but it doesn't excuse the act of spoofing to me.
So. I've been in my boot. You know what I've been doing?
Mm.
I ask people to stop me by there if they get a ride.
Yeah.
I catch Pokemon from my bathroom.
You find ways to make it work, you know?
Exactly. I can't hit a Pokestop maybe every day.
Right.
But I can get my one catch a day.
Like, when I was super sick and trying to play Ingress, like, either I just broke the damn hacking streak, or I would just say, like, all right, I'm going to just leave the house this once to go to the nearest portal and come right back to keep my streak going. You know,
the whole thing is that in the end, it's a game, and don't screw it up for everybody else just because you're inconvenienced.
Yes. So anyway, well, okay. And then Brad from Pop Culture continues. On the other hand, there's a Pokestop I can reach from my couch. Well, there you go. Then it's not so bad. Anyway, look, I realize that it gets into more controversial issue when we start talking about these other types of challenges. And I am all, do not get me wrong, I am all for accessibility in gaming. I'm all for always having remappable controls, being able to do visual editing and all these, you know, easy fixes in games. But I draw the line at spoofing your location to fake to people that you're at the top of a mountain in the middle of snow season when everybody knows that is fucking impossible for anybody, able-bodied or otherwise, to be able to do. So that's kind of where I draw the line, and I hope you guys can see the difference. Anyway. No, don't even with that clickbait news headline, people. All right. SSU100 Matt says, Rob did go outside in single-digit temperatures with wind chill to play Ingress during MAGFest. Confirmed. Yes, that did happen. That was one of the stupidest things I've ever done in my life. All right, let's talk about a less bad gaming decision, shall we? And that would be the decision to put Pac-Man Versus on the Nintendo Switch. Yeah, this is going to be awesome. Did you guys ever play Pac-Man Versus?
No.
Well, now you'll have a chance. So, Jamie, how does Pac-Man Versus work, if you remember? Do you remember?
You have one person who's Pac-Man and the other people who are the ghosts.
That's right. And the ghosts have their own screen, and like Pac-Man's on the TV or something,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. So anyway, what's going to happen is this is going to come to the Switch, but it's part of another collection. There's a collection called the Namco Museum Collection. And this collection is going to include other Namco games as well, including Pac-Man and Dig Dug, which shows up everywhere. But stuff like Galaga 88, Sky Kids, Splatterhouse, Rolling Thunder 1 and 2. So that's pretty cool. Some other deep cuts from Namco in there. But yet, no Mappy. Why does Namco continue to hate Mappy, Dark Sakura? Can you explain? Yeah, I don't know either. I don't understand this either. All right, anyway. But Pac-Man Versus is going to be a part of this as well. So, unfortunately, you can't just do it all on one Switch. That's not going to work very well for the game. However, each team needs their own Switch, but you can do up to three people on one console. So you could have one person being Pac-Man on their Switch and another person being – or another three people being the ghosts on another Switch. So that's something possible you can do. So very cool about that. That collection is releasing on July 28th, so you don't have a long time to wait for that. So that's pretty cool. I can't wait to finally really get to spend some time playing Pac-Man Versus because I didn't really get to before. So moving on, Dark Sakura.
Well, there's been a lot of talk about it. We've brought it up already. But there is that new Super Nintendo mini classic thingy that's coming out, right? The SNES Classic. It's going to have 21 classic Super Nintendo games in it. But among them is going to be a game that was heavily advertised and then dropped off the face of the earth. And that is Star Fox 2, which Star Fox 2 had a lot of different new mechanics in it. I've played a ROM of it before. You have like walker mode in there and different characters and everything. But as far as games that were mostly completed and never released, Star Fox 2 has been a big one up there for a lot of fans of the series. Because, I mean, we didn't have anything, you know, between the first Star Fox and Star Fox 64 that came out. Yet this one had been in all of the magazines. There was a playable version at the 1995 Consumer Electric Show. You know, but where did it go? So we're going to finally get it.
I think that is so rad that, like, a game from the archives that long ago is going to be available now all these years later. It's kind of similar a little bit to what they did with Earthbound Zero on the Wii U, although obviously this is a little different, these classics. I'm a little worried about being able to get my hands on one. And yes, I'm well aware Nintendo has said, oh, don't worry, you guys, there's going to be more of them available. It's one of those I'll believe it when I see it sort of things. Like, it's very easy to walk into Target today and find Atari Flashbacks, Sega Genesis, it's very easy to find those things still on the shelf. Now, granted, I realize those things don't have the same hype behind them that the Super Nintendo does, although the Genesis was rad too, so I don't understand why everybody's hating. But anyway, I just...
Probably because they've released it so many times.
I just don't see Nintendo being able to meet that same type of demand. Nintendo fucking loves this scarcity of their stuff and how it makes the line show up on the nightly news and all this stuff. It's and I'm annoying. Not going to buy into it again. I didn't with the Nintendo Classic. I never did get one, and I'm at peace with that. Congratulations, but there, I'm not – like, I didn't have a hookup like you guys did, and I'm just not – But, there's only links, like, certain
I'm
links
we're
going to go to.
I'm just trying to figure out what possibly they could, aside from, like, okay, oh, look, Nintendo's popular. People know who Nintendo is. It's not like they don't know what Nintendo, what's a Nintendo? You know, I mean, they, what are they trying to accomplish? All they're doing is frustrating their base. I mean, these are people that are fans of this stuff that are looking to buy it, to maybe even share it with their children to get more, get younger kids interested in these games. And they're pulling this dick shit that, like, that they've been doing for, like, since the Wii. It's ridiculous.
Granted, these same people can also find an NES at the flea market and get an EverDrive.
Or you could hypothetically buy the NES and the cartridges.
Or get the AVS.
Although, the original NES doesn't run on HDMI, these things do. So there is, you know, you can't...
It's a convenient package.
It is a convenient package, yes. But I'm of the mindset that I am with the NES Classic. If Nintendo wants me to have one, I'll get one. And I'll be happy to buy it. And yes, the game collection in here sounds pretty fucking awesome. Sure, I could put together a Raspberry Pi in an emulator and do all that shit. Sure, I could do that. But I think if that's your instant response to these types of
right
things...
Right here. This is my fucking response if I can't find one. I already have a fucking Raspberry Pi. I just need to fucking load RetroPie on it.
But it's one of those things where it would be nice to have the official hardware with the official control and all that stuff. That is nice to have, and I'm willing to pay that if Nintendo wants me to have one. But if Nintendo doesn't want me to have one, then I'm not going to get one.
I like their front end. I wish someone would dump that. Then I really don't need one.
But I want to make this clear, too. Since I'm on rants tonight, how about another one? Fuck scalpers. Fuck scalpers. Fuck scalpers. Fuck you if you're a scalper. Don't fucking buy from scalpers, because that encourages them. And I'm going to tell you right here and now, that is one thing that I am not going to do, is buy from a scalper. And I really wish you all would make that same promise with me. You're not going to fucking buy one of these from a scalper, because that is just going to drive the cost of these things up online.
It's not worth
that
the
drives
pay.
The scarcity to them. It is not fucking worth it
to
buy this from a scalper.
It's $80 now. It's not worth it to pay more than that, I think. I mean, it's worth the $80. I'm not going to pay more than that.
I will steal the games and put them on a Raspberry Pi. You can quote me on that. I will steal, S-T-E-A-L, steal the games and put them on a Raspberry Pi before I will buy from a scalper. Period. If that's what Nintendo wants me to do, then I will steal the games and put them on a Raspberry Pi before I will buy from a scalper. But fuck scalpers. And if everybody listening to every gaming, not this one because we don't have an audience, I can't imagine why. But if everybody out there listening to every gaming podcast, watching every Twitch stream, watching every YouTube out there would make the same promise to fuck scalpers, and this is not that important, then we would not have these problems. So please, everybody, say it with me. Spread the word. Let your friends know. Scalpers end now. Done. Fuck scalpers. Steal instead.
And remember, Star Fox 2 will be leaked to the internet immediately.
Yes, it will. All right, anyway, the views and opinions expressed on Orange Launch Radio. Anyway, all right, blah, 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 disclaimer. Let's see, going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. ActDev says, I don't want a Raspberry Pi. I want a Super Nintendo Mini. It's cool to have that whole little package. It's nice to have the official controller and all that other stuff. In an officially licensed Nintendo product, I think that would be really cool. ActDev in chat says, I know a scalper. Well, fuck that person, him or her. ActDev says, I bought my NES Mini from a scalper. ActDev, I say this with love. I know you're a longtime supporter of the show. You have to realize you contribute to the problem when you do that. Now, I'm giving you a little more of a pass than I would give other people because I realize you live in another country. And with that brings its whole other slate of issues that goes with that. So for that reason, I'm willing to be a little less harsh on you than I would be on other people. But you have to understand, we have to draw the line on these scalpers. Period. When are we going to say to ourselves, we're contributing to this culture?
our need to have it, and we've got to have one under our tree at Christmas and all this stuff, and I've got to have something my friends don't have. When are we going to recognize that that is what causes these issues to happen?
Just remember, Nintendo could easily put out virtual console games. They've been teasing that it's been out on other systems. I'm not sure what the holdup is now.
Yeah.
Why are they dicking us around like this?
All right. Come on, Gumshoes in chat says, Rob Roberts came to slay today. I've had 2 weeks to build this shit up, so here we go. All right. Anyway, let's move on before I go on more rants. Loki, I think you should talk about a game I've never played. That way I can't rant about it.
All right, fine. So, let's see. Let's talk about PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, you know, a game that they featured very briefly during the whole E3 press conferences. But, of course, very popular amongst, you know, Twitch streamers and that type of thing. Of course, you know, it is in early access. It's been out since March. But it is going to be coming to consoles very soon. You know, Microsoft, they showed it off during their conference. And one of the things that they're talking about is hoping to develop cross-platform play. And, of course, you know, it is coming to Microsoft, but it's also coming to Sony systems as well. So, yeah, I mean, at least the Microsoft side, I'm sure, will work fine. But Sony, I don't know. You know, they said, you know, cross-network play between PC and console is definitely something we want to work to down the road. We don't anticipate we'll have any technical issues with that. If we're going to allow players to use controllers, we need to have aim assist added in and things like that. We're not going to be supporting it right away, but it's something we'd like to look into later on. I mean, it looks interesting. It looks like an interesting game. I play with controller. I don't do the mouse and keyboard crap. But, yeah, I mean, it is an issue now, especially when all these, like, good games come out that want to do this cross-platform play. Microsoft's willing to play ball, and Sony is just kind of... It's kind of doing this. And once again, the quote, Jim Sterling, you know, Sony is Sony is putting themselves in a position where people are going to look at Sony and they're going to realize that when you buy a game on Sony's platform, you're not getting the full game. You are going to be missing features from that game, whether it be supports for, you know, full supports for modding in like Bethesda games or cross-platform play in other games.
Yeah, Sony needs to really figure this out, because it's not a good look on Sony right now. The fact that it looks like they're standing alone.
Or even backwards compatibility. Let's go there too. Backwards compatibility. So.
It does scream arrogance a little bit on the cross-platform stuff. But I'm hoping it's just a big misunderstanding from a legal standpoint, and they will work it out before Christmas. And we can play Rocket League, just like we play Final Fantasy XIV. And we can play this PlayerUnknown as well. Would be nice, even though it's not a game I have particularly played a lot of or at all, really. I'm just terrible. It's all like a first person. It's like Battle Royale, but a first person shooter, right? That's what this game is, right?
Yeah, it's like you know.
I'm not usually good at first person shooters, but I should check it out at least.
It's like DayZ with, you know, no zombies.
Mm.
I don't think there's zombies in that game.
No zombies?
I'm pretty sure there's no zombies.
You can't send a horde of zombies in to kill people?
No, it's basically like Battle Royale. You start out with a lot of people and you whittle it down to a few. So, but I mean, it looks neat.
All right. Well, moving on and talking about the backwards compatibility of Xbox games on Xbox One and, of course, Xbox One X. One of the big things that they unveiled at E3 this year was that original Xbox games are going to be backwards compatible, at least a selection of them. It doesn't mean all of them are going to be backwards compatible, but some of them will be. Do realize, and Xbox has clarified this week, that modern features like achievements and widescreen resolutions not going to be a part of this. So I hope y'all meant what you said about achievements not being important, because the original Xbox games are not going to have them because they didn't originally. So they're not going to go back and suddenly add them into the game. They're more focused on getting the game to actually work. That also goes with widescreen support, because many of these games, being that the Xbox was the same generation as PlayStation 2, many of these games didn't have widescreen support. Some of them did, like the later Xbox games did, and the later PlayStation 2 games did too. But you have to realize some of the games will not suddenly have this in. So you may be playing games with black borders and all that, but hey, at least it's still backwards compatibility, and I think that's okay. Same thing with the PlayStation games and that whole thing. If that's what's holding it up, who cares? Let the PlayStation 1 games be backwards compatible on PlayStation 4 with black borders and no achievements. Fine. But anyway, that's what's going to happen with the original Xbox games as well. Phil Spencer said this all, by the way, on Twitter in a response to some tweets saying, quote, most OG Xbox games didn't have widescreen. Can't really easily change the frame buffer aspect ratio on a shipped game from backwards compatibility. We run the OG code so the game will support what the original game supported. So there you go. I think that is to be expected, and I'm really – it's weird because this particular article I'm looking at on a website here says it's certainly disappointing, but I don't – what were you expecting? Like, they're not going to go back and necessarily reinvent all these old games, so I don't think it's disappointing at all. I think it's great that they are allowing you to use these games that are almost 15 years old at this point and still use them on your Xbox One. I think that's great that they're even allowing that at all, so there you go. But you should also, again, anticipate it's not going to be your entire library of OG games. It wasn't on the 360 either, right? Like, DDR never was backwards compatible, like Ultramix and all that. You still can't play those games on the 360. So I would imagine those games are going to be out for Xbox One X. The only games confirmed so far, Crimson Skies and Fusion Frenzy. That's it. So... but Crimson Skies is a big one, and the original Fusion Frenzy, I know, had a lot of fans as well. The sequel is garbage.
Not the sequel.
Yeah, sequel is fucking one of the most garbage games I've ever played, but the original was pretty good. Moving on, Dark Sakura.
Well, BioWare is still being terrible to us. There is some DLC that BioWare was going to be putting out that apparently was canceled. However... that was it was half a hoax, but it was in the end correct that there was going to be no single player DLC update that comes out. So that is really disappointing. We're not going to get any expanded content, not like any of the other Mass Effect games had.
This game got sold. This game got done so dirty.
Why do you think I'm so pissed off about that new game?
Well, you know, I have to confess something to you, Dark Sakura. When we were having our E3 breakdown show a couple weeks ago, you were talking about how you were upset about Anthem because of everything with Mass Effect. And I'm going to admit to you that at the time, because after looking at all the footage, I was like, okay, this Anthem thing looks like it's pretty cool and all this stuff. I didn't say this at the time, but I kind of thought you were being irrational about the whole thing, because I kind of thought that, you know, I was like, it's, they're two different games and all this sort. But I'm telling you this now, because after reading this story and some of these other things that have come up about Mass Effect, I might kind of be there with you.
This is exactly what I thought was going to happen.
I'm so upset about how dirty this game got done.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that the game had issues. So did the original Mass Effect. And that game had its chance to grow and get nurtured and all this other stuff. But now the fact that it's like, we're just going to fucking throw this in a hole in the ground and bury it and move on to this other hot new shit we have in town is kind of upsetting to somebody that's, you know, spent so much time on these games over the years and really embraced the culture and all that stuff. So my point of the story is, Dark Sakura, in a way, I guess I'm sorry for a feeling I never told you I had, but like, the more this is going on, I'm getting into a similar boat. Like, why should I support BioWare's new IP when the same thing could just happen to that?
Well, here's the other thing, too, is that they also basically tabled the plans for a sequel to Andromeda.
It's unfortunate.
So it makes me want to get people out on a Twitter campaign or something.
Eh.
But
people, they have to know how people feel.
But if it was enough to make them change the ending for Mass Effect 3, it could happen again. And this is something that's worthwhile.
Well, I think
worth getting antsy about.
Honestly, Dark Sakura, you know, to bring it back full circle, I think the best fan campaign would be to not buy Anthem.
I'm not going to buy it. I'm going to buy the new Dragon Age because that's continuing the series.
I'm not ready to completely say I'm not going to buy Anthem yet, but I just have to say this: the whole thing just feels like a kick in the ball, a kick in the balls, and it or cooter, you know, whatever. I just have to say that I'm not as enthusiastic about this because I just feel like BioWare like really like fucked over my friend, you know. So why do I want to go support them on this new endeavor? I'm not really excited about that right now. Let's see. Dungeon Buster in chat says, if the story of its development was true, it was a huge mess of a project. And that's like, when is the management going to take responsibility for how hard they fucked this game? You know, that's another big part of it as well. And these are the people that are now working on Anthem, right? Let's see. SSG100 Matt says, I've never seen a franchise torched and the fan base slapped in the face harder than this. It's frustrating. Yeah, it is. So anyway, it's one of those things where maybe I'll get over it by the time Anthem comes out. But I don't know. Right now, I just feel like there's 100 other games to play from companies that will be supporting the games.
Well, I went out on a limb and actually just made it a tweet. To BioWare, I am not going to buy Anthem because of how badly you treated Mass Effect. And I'm going to stand by that. I don't see any point. If you had a successful franchise, you could have made it this amazing thing. And it was still really good. I thought it was still great.
And that's the problem in this whole thing is that Andromeda is not that bad of a game.
I thought it was a really good game.
So, but anyway, but we've talked about that at length already. I don't want to rehash it too much. It's just it's upsetting. You know, everybody out there that listens to the show knows Jamie and I are longtime fans of the series, and this whole fact that they're just selling it up the river to move on to the next thing is just upsetting. It sucks. Hope it doesn't happen to your favorite game someday. So, all right. To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, TALK. Are we going to move on?
Please.
All right. Loki, what do you have for us? We'll get to the classic game of the week soon. We'll go back to a time and place when game companies didn't do games dirty like this. Loki, what do you have for us?
Okay. So apparently the Guillemot family is working on trying to increase their stake in the company of Ubisoft in order to fend off the whole Viacom hostile takeover that they're doing. So with that, currently they had 13.6% of the shares with the voting rights of about 20%. And then, of course, you know, in 2015, they had almost 30% of the company's share and about 25% of its voting rights. So they're working on right now to kind of get that back up to those previous levels in order to have a better standing to kind of stop them from taking over the company.
It's really interesting that Ubisoft has kind of made it clear time and time again they do not want this marriage, you know, this takeover, but it's still trying to happen. And this has been going on for over a year, hasn't it?
Yeah.
This whole talk of takeover? Boy.
Yeah, because they NVIDIA was actually, they purchased its first stake in Ubisoft in 2015.
Dark Tissue in chat.
I'm sorry, yeah, they own, actually, Ubisoft owns 27% of the company. So, yeah.
Dr. C in chat says, I do wish we could get another Rayman game. I mean, a mainline series one, not more Rabbids, LOL. Well, if that Mario Rabbids thing does well, that'll put more money in Ubisoft and hopefully prevent this type of takeover. We'll see.
Or maybe he'll be in, like, the next Smash Brothers game or something.
Yeah, anything's possible. I could definitely see, like, if they do a Smash Brothers remaster or whatever, which at this point, if it still hasn't been announced, I think they're just going to do a new Smash Brothers game, which is totally fine, obviously. I would say Rayman or one of the Rabbids has got to be a shoe-in for that, you would think.
Yeah.
Especially with this Mario Rabbids crossover. But anyway, to be argued at another time when they confirm whatever the future of Smash Brothers looks like. Meanwhile, let's talk about some other stuff with Nintendo, meaning their stance on fan games. because we all know that AM2R got the cease and desist, and it turns out, oh, Nintendo was working on their own Metroid 2 remake, it turns out. But that also, you know, Nintendo has shut down Pokemon Uranium. You know, there's been other stuff that's got shut down as well. So what's interesting is that there was an interview that happened with at Waypoint where they were actually interviewing Reggie Fils-Aimé, and they kind of, you know, put him on the spot with some of these questions in regards to why does Nintendo, you know, aggressively, you know, protect its IP and all this stuff. So a question that they asked in this was, why wasn't there a chance there, or even has there been a chance to speak to that, working on the line between fandom and actual creation, to try to work with a fan creator like AM2R's Milton Glosty or other fan creators? And Reggie said, I think there needs to be clarity on what the line is. And in our view, the line is when an initiative crosses from being an homage to something that is monetizing our IP. We allow homages to exist in a variety of different ways. And for me personally, as a fan, before I was an executive, I understand the attraction that you could have to our IP. But when it transitions to something that now you're trying to monetize it, you're trying to sell, you're trying to profit off of it, that's what broaches or breaks through that line for us where we have to claim our IP protection. Now, of course, Waypoint in the interview is thinking the same thing a lot of you are thinking. There wasn't a cost for AM2R. So again, the question posed after that was, that was a game that anyone could download for free. And I think for fans, there was this notion of go talk to that person or go talk to other fan creators to see if there's a way to not kill that project, to investigate the ideas that are happening there that are exciting and who knows. And Reggie answered with this. To differentiate this, we've had conversations with entities that started as fans and became more of a business partner. Those conversations happen all the time, but again, when something transitions to a commercial product, and that's what AM2R was, there wasn't a charge, but it was now a commercial product. Interesting distinction there by Reggie, that AM2R, sure, it was free, but it was still a commercial project. I mean, look, it's easy to paint Nintendo as the bad guy in this picture, but
if it competes with our products, we don't like it.
In a way. In a way, that's what it is. Because that game started getting all the YouTube and all the Twitch support and all that stuff. So, sure, there was no charge for it, but it was sitting right there alongside these other Metroid games and maybe taking some of the, you know, attention away from Metroid when now we find out Nintendo's been working on their own thing.
You know why it did that? Because it was something that fans wanted. Versus Metroid Prime soccer game, whatever the fuck that piece of
Federation
shit was.
Federation Force,
yes. That's why. Because it wasn't this shitty-ass game that stood in for a mainline Metroid game. It was something that fans wanted. They wanted. They liked Metroid 2. It was a remake in Metroid 2. Let's do it. And don't get me... I'm sure that like they've got to know what people want. I mean, I hope.
To be fair, though, I mean, again, I don't want to necessarily rehash an old topic, but I do think it's a little silly to think that Nintendo doesn't have every right to shut this shit down. Like, I kind of get the sense that, yeah, there's a line that's crossed
here. But where's
here.
The harm in it? I understand that they can shut down, but why can, like, Sega be totally fine with fan games coming out and even promote fan games by including it in a console release of a game? Like, there's like you can acknowledge it's there and give the, you know, or even better, Halo. There's a fan Halo game that's being worked on right now, and 343 Industries gave it their blessing. You know, so why can't these companies? Why can't they say, you know, hey, that's pretty cool, and guess what? We've got a game coming out that's pretty cool too. I mean, why can't they like both of them?
I think it's up to the company to decide where they want to draw the line or not.
Yeah, and they're fucking dicks. I'm sorry.
Okay,
Loki,
if I did a shot-for-shot remake of my favorite movie of all time, Showgirls, if I did a shot-for-shot remake of Showgirls, and then I put that up on YouTube, and I say, well, it's free, who cares? I mean, wouldn't Universal or whoever was behind distributed that movie, wouldn't they have a case to shut my YouTube down because I use somebody else's script? And it's not the original movie, though, Loki. It's not Elizabeth Berkley's movie.
It's derivative, and it'd actually be under fair use because of that.
Even if I did a shot-for-shot remake of Showgirls,
exactly.
from the shooting script, every word, the Universal will have no case against me because it's fair use. I don't think that's true. I think they would be able to shut it down. I guess there's only one way to find out.
Yes,
Jamie, sure. Have you ever wanted to be in a movie?
I'm not licking a pole. You don't know shit.
Oh, see, she's really good. You get the part.
No, but I'm just, you know, like with the fan games, though, it's not okay. Let's if you want to say if it's a shot for shot remake, it's not. So what? The level design's the same or similar. You can't copyright that. It's not. I mean, level design. I mean, I guess if you do it exactly the same, I mean, you could make an argument there. But I think that Nintendo takes it a little too far. Like, granted, there's protecting your IP, but then there's Nintendo protecting their IP, or Nintendo monetizing videos of their product and thinking that they should get some money from people fanning over their games. Fuck them. I'm sorry. I don't feel any sort of remorse for Nintendo.
I've got to get some of these comments out. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says over at live.vognetwork.com, just because one business is okay with it doesn't mean another one isn't. Just because VOG is okay with people distributing our back episodes on their own server, I should say, Bobby, that's we only know that to be specific to OLR and your show. I haven't polled the rest of the shows on this. I have a feeling they're in the same camp, but anyway, just because VOG is okay with people distributing our back episodes on their own servers doesn't mean that Twit is. Fair point. I mean, there's also a big difference there in that our shows aren't out to make money, whereas Twit, I believe, is trying to pay bills.
Well, you see, it's a consumer product that you're not charging for, therefore you're evil.
Let's see. Bobby Blackwolf goes on to say, so why should people buy the virtual console version if they can get a shot-for-shot remake of a game on PC for free? ActDev says, so can I make my own fan remake of Time to Car? Yeah. I wish you would, so someone will fucking finish it, ActDev.
You can't remake something that there hasn't been made yet. So,
I can make my own version of Star Fox 2. I can make my own Mother 3. It hasn't been released, therefore it doesn't exist.
I'm just like...
Alright. I get it, Loki. It's frustrating. And especially when you do see that one company lets people get away with it. And another one doesn't.
It's frustrating.
It just makes it seem like you're a dick and you're awesome.
It's frustrating because it's their fans showing it. They're not trying to release this to say, fuck you, Nintendo. I'm going to make a better game than you. And I'm going to sell Metroid and make money off of it. They're doing it because they love your game. And they're so much in love with your game. And that they want a new game to come out. And it's just not coming out. So they're like, you know what? I'm just going to make this game because I love this franchise and everything. Same with like the YouTube videos. I love your products. I want to talk about your products and share these products. And what have you done along the way? You fucking C&D the people making games. You fucking monetize those fucking videos. What are you doing to your fans? This is only going to go so... they're going to shorten the supply of a really highly demanded product from your company. Like... What are you doing? Are you fucking retarded?
You need to cease and desist this ranting because you're trying to out-rant me on tonight's show.
That's a given, but, you know, I mean...
All right, look. No, there's another side of this. I want to make sure we get out here. This is important, okay? So here's another story on a somewhat related tangent, is that Microsoft, there's this game out there called Installation 01. It's a fan-made Halo game that aims to bring the multiplayer Halo experience to all the various PC platforms. Installation 01 is being built in Unity 5, and they're saying it's the best part of the classic Bungie-era Halo games. It's going to recreate the Halo 2 and 3 experience, but there's elements of Combat Evolved and Reach in there. The developers stressing... They are operating under Microsoft's game content usage rules. All assets were created from scratch or obtained through the Unity Asset Store. There's actually been a meeting, and this was talked about on the Installation 01 website. They had a Skype call with 343 Industries, who is, of course, now behind Halo. And they stated, through these interactions, we've been ensured that Installation 01 is not under imminent legal threat, provided we remain non-commercial in nature and scope and continue to follow Microsoft's game content usage rules to the letter. So they will never be accepting donations. They will not be selling it or Halo-related merchandise. That is to keep a respectful distance between us and Microsoft's intellectual property.
And fine, put out some, like, as Bobby likes to try to point the counterpoint there for myself. Hey, Nintendo, we're going to take all your characters and worlds and make our own games with it, and you have to be okay with it no matter what. We're fans. Then you know what? Fuck Nintendo. Have them put out some guidelines then so we can make our own fan games. Because honestly, let's be honest here. If
the guideline is, don't.
here's my guideline, Nintendo. If y'all wanted to make a fucking fan
you
game
out here.
You
asked for a guideline, I gave you the guideline.
No, here's how you fucking do it. You don't be dumb and show your progress. You make the game, you finish it, you throw it out there, and say, fuck them, what are they going to do? Take it down, it's on the internet. That's what you do. That's how you release a fan game.
Give the finger and run. That's
no, seriously. Put that shit on fucking torrent sites. What the fuck are they going to do? C&D torrent sites? No. They can try. It's on the internet. They don't know how the internet works anyways. My God.
Sue me.
They're like, internet, how do we get that? We need to sue this internet.
Just get Nina Bonina Brown to put out your game. Sue me. Walk off dramatically. Mm. All right. Anyhow, let's go back to a classic time in gaming. This is just, oh, this is so, the vapors. This is a very
when
exhausting show
tonight. I didn't
have
to go tonight. To work. And I could call in sick to school.
It's the classic game of the week where Dark Soccer is going to walk into the gaming vault and hopefully we won't get cease and desisted over the audio we're about to play from this classic game in the archives. Good one. Really good one tonight. Real classic tonight.
I was going to use it before, and then I found other things to use.
Yes.
So I saved it for tonight.
So here it is. The first game of our post-15-year episode.
Yep.
All right, here it is.
And y'all will probably go like, didn't she do this before? And the answer is, uh-uh.
All right. What is the classic game of the week tonight?
Castlevania 3, Dracula's Curse.
This is a big one.
Yes, it is. Or this one was referred to in Japan as Akumajo Densetsu, which is Devil Castle's Legend. And it was the third and final of the games in the Castlevania series that was produced for the NES. It came out in 1989 in Japan and in North America in 1990 and Europe 1992. It actually came out after the release of Super Castlevania 4 in Europe. And we did have, of course, Virtual Console releases and all of that. But basically, this particular game was a prequel to the original Castlevania game that was set a few centuries before the original game. So it starred Trevor Belmont as the ancestor to Simon Belmont, Belmondo. Anyway, the game that this one, it returned back to its platform, I would say, roots, like the first Castlevania game, instead of the action adventure that Castlevania 2 was. But this one is fairly non-linear, though. You also had characters who could assist. You had Grant, who had his stab attack. Although, if I do recall correctly, on the disc version of this, he had a projectile with his knives, his Grant Dynasty. And then you could play as Alucard, who could turn into a bat and shoot fireballs. And then
life goals
to turn into a bat and spit out fireballs. But this game was really, I would say, just really in depth. Oh, and you also could play as Saifa Belnades, who is also in I think canon now is considered to be one of the Belmont ancestors as well. So, but a sorceress who had magic. Ooh, magic. But this particular game had some very interesting technical differences with it. It had in the Japanese version, the original one, it had a VRC6 coprocessor chip. And the game's audio programmer had his fingers in this one. What it did, it had two extra pulse wave channels and a saw wave channel to add to the initial five sound channels. So it had much better music capability. In the US, the NES didn't have the ability to use external sound chips, so we just had the MMC5 chip, which basically didn't do anything. It was a downgrade of the music. You ever get a chance to find some of the Japanese music, definitely look at the Japanese version. It's pretty amazing. Although I do think that now the AVS systems will make use of the external chips. So find yourself a Famicom version of this. And other things, you also had some hidden features. In the North American and PAL versions, you could enter in a code that said, "Help me." So you could start with 10 lives. And with any of the three spirit partners and the more difficult quest unlocks. This was not in the Japanese version. It had, Castlevania 3 had different artwork outside of Japan. It was the first game in the series that did. And the same artist, Tom Dubois, had also did the artwork for Super Castlevania 4, Castlevania 2, Belmont's Revenge, and Castlevania Bloodlines. So, really, really, really decent work. This is also listed by Nintendo Power as the 9th best NES game that, you know, had so many more improvements over it. I honestly, if it wasn't for Dracula X, I would put this at my top of Castlevania games. But, because, I don't know, I still kind of think of Symphony of the Night as its own kind of new type of Castlevania game. I still think that Dracula X is the better game. That still has the same platforming features like this one did. But this game is really up there. It is one of the best. It also had there was a soundtrack that was released with the original Famicom music of it. There was also an animated movie that was in development since 2007 with Warren Ellis writing, for one thing. And then it finally is got its... there was the tease for the animated version, and now we have the animation is going to be out on Netflix. So it should be out on July 7th.
God, I didn't realize it was that soon.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
So, nice as a little precursor to our Castlevania.
Though I noticed Grant is not listed among the people that they have voice casts.
He might be too Dynasty.
Or they wrote him out, sadly.
Yeah.
Why? He was like one of my favorite characters in it.
Well, as long as they leave
Sypha in it. They gotta save something for season two, maybe.
As long as they leave Sypha in it. You know what I would want, though, is I would want a Dracula X animated thing. That would just be awesome. Nothing but Richter Belmont in his sleeveless 80s with his headband outfit. Hi, I look like I'm Ryu, but I'm in a Konami game.
What about animated Silent Hill?
Why not?
I guess it's got to be better than some of those later sequels turn out to be.
I did like the movies.
I did like P.T.
P.T. was great.
Rest in peace.
By the way, I forgot to say, I have the PT Unity on my Mac.
Yeah?
And it actually is pretty close and pretty fun.
Nice.
So it's still out there to download. People can play it. But anyway, back to this. Castlevania 3. Akuma Joden sets. I don't, my voice is screwed up right now, so I can't make it sound cool.
Is that it? To say on the game? Oh, there it is. All right. Your classic game of the week, Castlevania 3, Dracula's Curse. Now, I must confess, I love this game, don't get me wrong, and I think I told you all the story about how I was the guy who figured out first how to get this to work in an emulator, and then the little IRC group I was with put it out there, put the fixed ROM out there for the masses. But, so I do love this game. But Castlevania 2 Simon's Quest, I think, is my favorite on the NES. I know, don't stop rolling your eyes at me. I think it's more of a sentimental favorite more than anything else.
The game is so bad.
No, it's not. I love it.
Okay.
Why do you hate it so? Hater, hater.
It's a terrible night for a curse.
That's right.
Grind, 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 grind.
Some of the greatest music in the entire series. I mean, I don't know. Maybe
it has good music, but it's so grindy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't have time for no grinder.
Maybe that's the difference between you and I. I don't mind a little grinder here and there, but you got no time for it. All right.
Swipe all you want.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, there's plenty more show to come, including some stories on Grand Theft Auto, Overwatch, and how about some Dead or Alive as well? We'll get to all that when we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Your calls as well, so don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this. Oh. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio live on this Sunday night, July the 2nd of 2017, with episode number 692 of our show. I don't know if we have anybody in Canada who's listening live, but if you are, I hope you all had a great Canada Day yesterday. And I'm sure those of you that are listening on the podcast feed may appreciate a belated Happy Canada Day. And of course, to everybody in the United States, we have the 4th of July coming up. So I hope you all have a great and safe, of course, 4th of July. I hope no idiot sets off a firework too close to you. I don't know about you guys, but they've already been setting them off all week long here, and I'm already over it. But you know, fireworks aside, the 4th of July is certainly an important day. So yeah, I hope you all have a great holiday. It is kind of weird what it's doing to this work week, though. I don't know about you guys. I have to work Monday, then I have Tuesday off, then I have work the rest of the week. It's a little weird, but whatever. I will take a day off. Do you guys have any exciting plans for 4th of July?
I don't want to be around other humans, so I'm going to stay in the cat shuddering at the fireworks.
So you have an introvert day, basically.
Yeah,
Nothing wrong with that. I may actually do the same thing. I'm thinking maybe it might be a good movie day, if anything. But otherwise, Hubs and I don't really have any plans. And that's
Spider-Man's coming out soon, but I think that's not until Friday, though.
Yeah, I think it's before the weekend or something. So, yeah. Which I still need to see Wonder Woman. Like but I figure that's in a theater still somewhere.
Go.
Do you? I'll let you know if we go. You still haven't seen it?
No.
It surprises me. Do you hate DC that much? I'm just kidding.
No.
I'm just teasing.
When we tried to go before, there was a crazy line, and I didn't want to deal with that many people.
Ah, gotcha. That makes sense. Bobby in chat says, Rob's going to live stream on Twitch all day. I might. If the movie thing doesn't end up happening, maybe I'll play something.
You can watch Summer Games Done Quick.
I can, but I think we're going to get to that in just a little bit, a little more on that as we get into some rapid-fire news. So let's get to it. Loki.
All right, so Blizzard finally announced the date for the StarCraft Remastered. That's going to be coming out on August 14th on PC for $14.99. And, of course, it has the upgraded graphics, the expansion Brood War, also Ultra HD, and 4K support, matchmaking, leaderboards, all that fun stuff. Remastered music. So look for that in the price. That's definitely better than, say $40 for, standalone version of Call of Duty Remastered Modern Warfare. And then, of course, with that, PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Games with Gold, lots of freebies for the month of July. So starting off with PlayStation Plus, this month we get Until Dawn, which is pretty awesome, Game of Thrones, the Telltale game. And then, of course, on PlayStation, those are on PlayStation 4. PS3 gets Tokyo Jungle and Darkstalkers Resurrection. And then on Vita, Elemental 4, looks like 41 or 4L, and Don't Die, Mr. Robot, which is cross-buy on PlayStation 4. So, sweet. And then they also said that along with that's you, which is, that new party game that they showed off.
No, it's you!
Yes. Will be free to all PlayStation Plus members from July 4th to October 24th.
Oh, that's cool.
So that'll be something that's coming as well.
Yay, free game.
So, hey, that's pretty cool.
That's a pretty sweet lineup for July, because I don't know how long Shane's been begging me to buy Until Dawn and stream it, which, I hate those jumpy scare games. But now it's free, so it's pretty hard to say no to free.
Yes. On the Xbox front, we've got, on starting July 1st, you can get Grown Up, and that's on Xbox One. And then, of course, they have Kane and Lynch 2 Dog Days on Xbox One or 360, of course. That's until July 15th, and then from July 16th through the end of the month, to August 15th, you can get Runbo. And Lego Pirates of the Caribbean will be on Xbox One, Xbox 360 from the middle of the month to the end of July.
Nice. Yep. Free games, asterisk, if you pay a yearly subscription fee. But still.
It's better than one or two console or virtual console games.
Stop being shady. All right. Let's talk about, speaking of the Switch and what it kind of has instead of Virtual Console right now, it has those Neo Geo games, right? The ACA Neo Geo, which I did buy. I forgot to mention it during my gaming week, but I did pick up Magical Drop 2 came out on Switch this week. And I like those games as far as like the puzzly type of games go. Have you surely you know the Magical Drop games, right, Darksakura? Yes. Are you a fan?
I have one of them for Neo Geo CD.
Oh, nice. I didn't even know they released it on CD. Well, Magical Drop 2 came out on Switch this past week, so I downloaded that because I thought that would be a good game, because I think it's also on PlayStation 4 and probably Xbox One as well. But I thought that would be a good one because you can, you know, play it on the TV, or you can pick it up and go and play it with other people and all that stuff. So I thought that would be a good one. Well, there are more Neo Geo games confirmed that will be coming to Switch, and this is all part of a Nico Nico live stream that happened, part of the Arcade Archive series. Games confirmed and mentioned during the series: Samurai Showdown, Woo. Super Sidekicks, King of Fighters 2000, Aero Fighters 2, and probably my favorite Neo Geo fighter they ever did, Fatal Fury Special, is coming out as part of that as well, which is basically Fatal Fury 2 Plus is what that is. Fatal Fury 2, but with all the one characters that you couldn't play in that game, now playable, like Tung Fu Ru and Duck King and all that. So I will definitely be picking up, I will definitely pick up Fatal Fury Special. But we don't know exactly what day. We just know they are coming in the coming months. That's it.
The future.
Mm-hmm. By the way, speaking of free games over in chat at live.vognetwork.com, Raginator is saying, remember, Yaris was free. Could you say no to Yaris? All right, look. Maybe not every free game is awesome, but the That's You sounded kind of neat. Our pal Slidekick from Game Buoy is in chat saying, Runbo is a delight. I have not checked out Runbo, but I will check it out since it is available as part of this Xbox Gold stuff. Speaking of the Switch, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe got an update this last week. It is now on version 1.2. Some more amiibo functionality included with this. Pikmin.
That's what I was. I forgot I played another game, Mario Kart 8.
Oh, did you on Wii U, or did you actually play the Switch version?
I played the emulator version.
Oh, you.
I own it. I can fucking do that if I want to. I have the disc version.
You own it.
Digital download. So I played it on my PC, and it runs fantastic.
You do. All right, anyway, so now in 1.2 of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, you can use Pikmin theme amiibo to unlock a Pikmin suit for the Mii driver. Race rules and course name are on loading screens during online and wireless play. That's kind of nice, because that Cops and Robbers game, I had no idea what the hell that was about until I finally got in and played that. If you're behind in an online match, you will get items geared towards catching up more frequently. I wonder how that's going to affect the Shine Grab game, because that seems like it's always over in a heartbeat as soon as somebody, you know, can hold on to that shine for just a few seconds. Some other stuff. If you use an item right after the Super Horn in an online match, the item will remain available for other players. I guess there was a bug before that. And the item wheel will no longer spin continuously in online matches. Online matches will end as intended 30 seconds after the first place racer finishes, so no more trolling in that case. And communication errors no longer occur frequently while spectating or after spectating online matches. I hope that fixes some of the same room gaming problems I was having when JD and I were trying to play Mario Kart a couple weeks ago. That would be very nice to have that fixed. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us in Rapid Fire News?
Well, we had mentioned in part one about the Castlevania series that's coming out on Netflix in a few days, really. But they've listed a voice cast. We have, who is it? We have Graham McTavish, who played Charlie Cutter in Uncharted and Dwalin in The Hobbit. We have Richard Armitage as Trevor Belmont. We have James Callis from Battlestar Galactica as Alucard, and Alejandra Reynoso as Sypha Benades. And there's a full list that's out there online. And then in other news, which was actually going on when I left my house, we have Summer Games Done Quick is going on right now. I sat and watched part of the Halo speedrun, which I like seeing people glitch through games. You have your time to donate right now and say if you want to save the frames or save the animals. Go for it. I think when we left, we were watching, they were just about to start Luigi's Mansion. And then right now, they should be doing Castlevania Symphony of the Night with no glitches.
Oh, cool. Well, the good news is if you're listening to OLR and you're missing that, although I know a lot of you will bring that up as your video and then you're listening to us as audio, which is really cool if you're doing that. But everything is put on YouTube after the fact. So if you miss anything, you can always watch it later.
Well, at 9 o'clock Pacific, they're going to be doing Wakamele Gold Edition 100% run and then Okami HD at 10:30. So that's just today. Tomorrow, well, actually, I may stay up for this one because it'll be the 12 a.m. one. They're doing the 2014 Strider.
Oh, cool.
For an 80% finish run. And I would really love to see that one. So I think I'm going to stay up for that
one. Man, I want to play the NES Strider again.
3:04 a.m. is Super Adventure Island 2. There's some good ones on here. There's ActRaiser at 4 a.m. Why are they doing some of these early in the morning?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Some of the worst times.
Sonic CD at 1:47 p.m. tomorrow.
Speaking of that, Dark Tetsuya in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says they have a donation incentive for which region soundtrack for the Sonic CD remaster run. Japan is
donating.
Winning. Japan is winning by a landslide.
That's because everyone has good taste.
You better get in there before Bobby Blackwolf.
Unless he wants to donate $20,000.
Hey, it's all towards a good cause.
Just at Radio Future tomorrow at 10:30. Astal at 12:44 a.m.
I love Astal.
I love Astal. That's a good game. Other good ones, I Am Bread at 5:45 on the 4th of July.
God, I hate that game, but I'd watch someone speedrun that thing. It's so frustrating, though.
Hollow Knight. As happening also on the 4th, Pokemon Puzzle League, Pokemon Heart Gold or Soul Silver.
How do you speedrun Puzzle League? I guess the same way you speedrun Tetris. I guess you just have to be like really good at it.
There are two on this one I'm super happy about. Silent Hill 2 at 9:19 on the 4th. Another reason to stay home. 11 o'clock is Resident Evil Code Veronica X.
I will say our pal Flocko Jones submits for PT every time, and they haven't picked him yet, but maybe next time. He's still working on it.
3:07 a.m. is Alex Kidd in Shinobi World,
which has
been a classic game.
Yes, it has.
So, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff on there. And as mentioned in the previous section, Castlevania 3 Dracula's Curse, 5:56 on the 5th. So Rondo of Blood at 6:46. There's a lot of good games on here. I just need to not go to work.
And you never know what you're going to see when you're watching Summer Games Done Quick or the Games Done Quick series. In fact, this was just shared just a little bit ago in our Discord, our brand new Discord. Look, we're already integrating it into the show. Over in the Orange Lounge Radio channel over on Discord, Tiger Claw actually brought to our attention that during the Battletoads Any Percent run, a new record was set today. Two seconds shy of the previous record. So there it is.
We're going to have just other games coming up. There's going to be Chrono Trigger, Any Percent with No Wrong Warp, Link to the Past, doing all dungeons with no sword. There's just a really lot of good ones on here. Shantae is on here.
And I do want to just clarify before somebody corrects me. This was actually not done as a part of Summer Games Done Quick. I apologize. I misunderstood. It just happened to be the same day that they're doing Summer Games Done Quick. You have other people that are doing fast games in tandem. But a new record was set today by the Mexican Runner is the name he goes by online. And he was also the guy who was on a quest to be every NES game ever made. So he just happened to do that today, which is why I assumed it was part of Summer Games Done Quick, but it was actually not. But still lots of speed running records being set.
This one's for you. Super Metroid Low Percent Ice Race.
What? Ice Race?
Ice Race.
Maybe they're only using the Ice Beam?
I reckon.
Interesting.
But yeah, there's a lot of really good, some of them I'm actually really surprised to see on here, but there's an Earthbound one for Any Percent with No Glitch, and then the finale is called Anyone Still Awake? So, yeah, really good. So, I may have this running on my second monitor.
I always have to watch the taskbot block, though. That's usually my
good times. All right, and hopefully everybody on the couch behaves themselves this year. Maybe I hope they all got a little training after what happened last year. All right. Meanwhile, let's
I think that was still this year. That was just the...
Or that was the winter. Sorry, the winter this
game's
year.
Game's done quick, yeah.
It feels like it was a year ago. All right.
I know, Trump.
All right, the world has gone to shit in such a little time. All right. Meanwhile, let's talk about what is in stores this week. What can you find on shelves this week that you can work on speedrunning for the next Awesome Games Done Quick? Loki, well, how about in the U.S.?
Not a whole lot, but as you mentioned, That's You is going to be out on PlayStation 4. So if you have PlayStation Plus, which you probably do, you can get that for free. Woo! On 3DS, we have Kirby's Blowout Blast. And then on Excel World versus Sword Art Online on PlayStation 4 and Vita. and Fable Fortune, their card game that's coming out on Xbox One and on PC. And then it's a bit of an early tease, but next, the week after that, 1 week from Tuesday, Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age on PlayStation 4.
I'm so excited about that, just to be clear. I'm excited to play Final Fantasy XII all over again. Because, you know, I haven't beaten it. I got a ways on it when it was originally
on
PlayStation
2. I played it for so very... Actually, I've never played 12. I played the 12 spin-off game that was on DS for a little bit, but I didn't play it that much.
All right, let's travel over to Japan and check out the releases over there, which on the PlayStation 4 this week on July the 6th, Gundam Versus is out, as well as Omega Labyrinth Z in a regular and limited edition. Those are pretty much the big releases on the PlayStation 4 this week. The Vita is also getting Omega Labyrinth Z in a regular and limited edition, so Vita still not being overlooked in Japan. The Switch doesn't really have anything coming out until July the 20th, so we have a few weeks of a break from the Switch. But checking out the 3DS, no, nothing there either. We get Hey Pikmin on the 13th, but as far as this week goes, it's still a little bit empty otherwise. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
Oh, there's some stuff. We have, it would be great if I haven't lost my place. There we go. So we have on the 4th, Space Plan on, wait, that's May. Sorry. Because it wasn't linked to July.
Well, excuse me, princess.
All right. On the 5th, we have Toby, The Secret Mine. That's it.
I guess it's a slow week this week.
You think?
July usually is.
I guess.
Well,
I
suppose I can count the 9th, because isn't that the next episode? Gorn for PC.
Gorn?
Gorn.
What's Gorn?
Oh.
The Gorn to release it.
All something Gorn. I won't play.
All right, the release dates are all gone. Moving on, let's get to the mailbag. Every week you guys send us emails to participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Again, if you want to send an email to our show, participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send those emails. And every week we open up the email bag and pull out some of our favorite emails. And since I don't have my email music this week, I was missing it 2 weeks ago. It fell off my playlist. But you'll get replacement music tonight.
Okay.
It's our listless music. There it is.
Okay. Ba-ba-ba-da. We only have one email.
All right. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com.
Hi, OLR. It's your friendly neighborhood Raginator yet again. Considering what's been going on this week in gaming, I thought I'd write in regarding to... Spell the word T-O. How hard is it to put two letters instead of the number two?
Now everybody got a rant tonight.
T-W-O, sorry. Three letters. T-W-O. Relevant topics. And the same goes for three. That's just improper grammar. As you three are probably well aware and may have mentioned earlier in the show, Nintendo has announced that we all, what we all expected that would do sooner or later. They're, typos. They're giving the Super Nintendo the Mini Classic Edition re-release like they did with the NES. Now, I won't regurgitate the details on that, seeing as you probably did so well, and I, no, did so already, sorry, and I don't want to be redundant, but I will ask you this. Are you excited about it and considering picking it up? We've already answered that. No, no, and yes.
Picking up what again? Sorry, I missed.
The SNES Classic.
Oh, if I can, well, I wouldn't say I'm a no. I may, if Nintendo wants me to have one, I'll have one.
And thank you, Slidekick, but I come for everybody's grammar. I come for you. Sneak into your room and cut up your wigs. Where was I? I may pick up the SNES Classic Edition if I can. In terms of favorite memories, it's a toss-up between buying the system completely on my own with my own funds, a gaming first for me, being introduced to the fighting genre on the system with games like Killer Instinct, Primal Rage, and the Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter series, and also getting my first gaming soundtrack as a pack-in, the Killer Instinct soundtrack. I played the crap out of it, and that started my obsession with building my library of game OSTs. The first system that I bought with my own money was a Super Nintendo, and my boyfriend at the time got me a Super Street Fighter II Turbo, and that made me very happy because I really liked Cammy's music. And I bought Kirby's Avalanche on my own, and I still have that same copy of Kirby's Avalanche, so just saying.
I thought I answered this on a previous show, but I'll say it quickly again. I got $200 from my parents for Christmas one year, and I turned right around and I got a PlayStation and a copy of Crash Bandicoot 2. I think I had to sell some other stuff or something to make the whole money, or I had some other money saved because that doesn't seem like enough money. But I got that was what I bought, and my mom was so pissed that that's what I spent the money on that I never got cash again for the Christmas.
I love the chat room right now.
Why?
Because Come and Come Shoes told Slykick, Dark Sacred Shade comes from reading. And then Psychic says, reading came first. Reading is the real art form. Mm-hmm. I will read a bitch.
Well, how about you read the email?
How about I read you for that hat?
I love this hat. This hat was on television. Almost. In a deleted scene. This hat, this show, RuPaul's Drag Race, that you always quote, this hat was in a deleted scene.
I have to say that you were looking quite scholarly with your...
Do you like the glasses?
With your newsboy cap and glasses.
Thank you. This is probably a new thing I'm going to do. Actually, I think
he's testing out Twitch stream outfits.
No, it's not that. I think I'm going to shave my head. I think it's
time.
Don't
do it.
You don't want me to do it?
No, don't do it. Why? You need something on the side.
You really?
Yeah. Don't do it.
Just when I thought I was going to do it, now you're having me having second thoughts.
No, because the shave head thing is just like...
Yeah, but it's just, there's nothing left up top. It's got to go.
You're not so fuzzless on the top.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll
don't
see.
Do it yet.
All right.
Or get, like, surgery.
Just for you. I'm not. No, no. First off.
Joking.
No to chemicals, drugs, surgery. No. This is the way Mother Nature made me. And if you don't like it,
blame your mom's
kiss
jeans.
My big fat ass.
Although they do say that it actually does pass down from the maternal genes.
Yeah. And they're all bald on that side of the family.
Yeah. So that's why I'm not having kids.
But it's. All right. Anyway.
Okay. Anyway. But don't shave your head for at least a year.
I'll think about it.
Okay. As for my second subject, and you can probably guess what it is, deals. As opposed to what you already know, the Steam Summer Sale, a.k.a. the Shut Up and Take My Money Gavin Fortnite, is well underway. I ask you this. Did you look over the sale? Yes, and I bought exactly two things. And one of them wasn't on sale. Actually, I bought three things. I bought a Steam Link this time. And I need to talk to you about how you have your setup, Rob. Because yours doesn't have a lag, does it?
No.
Okay, I need to ask you how you have your setup.
Wired.
Okay. To the TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you stream Wi-Fi?
No, I stream through a wired connection.
You stream through the wired connection. Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Where was I? What are your thoughts on it? It's a fucking Steam sale. Did you pick up any goodies for yourselves? And what? I got Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2, I bought Danganronpa Ultra Despair Girls, and I got a Steam Link. There you go.
Not yet for me, but I probably will have a couple games by the time this is all said and done. But if you want to go look at my wish list and buy me a belated birthday gift, I certainly am not going to complain.
I ordered you pencils.
Yay!
But they're arriving at my house instead of your house. I did participate in the sale myself, and this may come as a shock to everyone, but I bought six items for roughly $23. Two of the newer Pinball FX2 table DLCs that I was missing, completing my collection now, Burn Zombie Burn, Rainbow Six Vegas 2, Euro Truck Simulator 2, and Serious Sam 3 Jewel of the Nile DLC. In closing, remember to reject false orange bigoted dumbass icons.
And I apologize for the Google chat sound that went off while she was reading that email. Why is it, like, I will open that window for, like, 30 seconds during a show because I'm trying to check something, and that happens to be the exact 30-second window that I'll get a message, like, without fucking fail. Sorry, guys. That happened on Reading is Fundamental a lot when I was...
What about Loki? Did you buy anything?
The only thing I bought was Middle-Earth Shadow of Mordor, but I don't know. Maybe buy Flint Hook. That looks pretty sweet. I don't know. There's other games out there, but I'm like... If I'm going to do this game jam, I don't want to be buying new games to play, because that's not...
You need to do a game to put on the Steam store for the next sale. You can do it, Loki.
Well, if I'm going to make the game I'm making now, it's not going on the Steam store, I don't think.
All right, itch.io then.
What if there was like one based off of Shadow of Mordor, except it was Game of Thrones theme, and it could be Shadow of Hodor?
Just don't get sued over it.
Sure, there's a mod.
If you want to know somebody who's a bigger dick than Nintendo when it comes to properties and licenses, try HBO. Just saying. All right. Come on, Gumshoes in chat says Loki's game should just be a rant meter. Could be, maybe.
No, there's no ranting.
It should be a clicky game called It's Not Loud Enough. And you keep clicking to turn up the volume, and it's never loud enough.
Well, just like the talk, like the original. Okay, so since this is not the premise I'm going to be using, the original premise for my clicker game was going to be kind of a cross between a clicker game, Work Time Fun, and WarioWare. So it was going to be. You know, I don't even know what the purpose was yet. That's the problem. Is I didn't have a storyline to go along with it, so I didn't want to string a bunch of random shit together. So it was supposed to be like you're earning money for some reason. It's like a late night TV thing, and you each channel is a different job you're doing. It's really stupid shit, like liking a video on YouTube. Like you keep clicking the like button, you know, because they always say smash that like button. So you're smashing that like button, or you're burping a baby, or you know, something that involves.
Okay, the story. Here's your story. The story could be that you're unemployed, and so you're taking every odd job you possibly can, like you're driving for Lyft.
It was supposed. Supposed to be like Fiverr, like a Fiverr type thing where you're doing a bunch of weird shit.
What's that fucking Amazon thing that you can get like 2 cents for taking a survey?
I know
and all
what
that.
You're talking about. Like,
the Turk.
Turks. Yeah.
Yeah. That whole thing. There's that. That's what you could base it off of.
That's what it was supposed to be like, but instead it's I'm doing something totally different from all that I think sounds cool. We'll see.
Yeah, Bobby Blackwell says you should do it where you're playing multiple clicker games at once and call it multi-clicking.
Here's another one that was hilarious, and this would be the whole joke because I never finish a game. The whole game was going to be about making clicker games or like adding features to it, and you know how you ascend in the game? You ascend by playing another clicker game. You keep going deeper with it. So you're playing a clicker game within a clicker game within a clicker game.
And ascend is scrap your project and start again.
You're just like, well, I'm just going to play this instead. And then you're playing another clicker game that's about making clicker games. And it just keeps getting deeper and deeper. And that was another idea I had, but I didn't run with it. But no, I'm going to try this one first, the one I have that I haven't mentioned anything about because it's different. And it could be cool. But if not, then maybe I'll go back to some weird shit like that.
Click recursions start to see ya. All right. Anything else for the email, Darsakro? Was that it from Raginator, or was there more?
That was it.
All right, that was it. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you would like to send us a email for a future week. There you go. Please send us emails. Make Darsakro work around here. She gets chocolate after all.
I already work.
Loki, let's move on to some more news.
All right. So one of the other games I was thinking about actually picking up on Steam because I've been watching I don't remember the guy's name now. I think it's Air Force Proud 95. It's a guy who does a lot of like trolling streams and Flight Simulator X. That was one I was going to look at. Anyways, so let's talk a little bit about one of my favorite games, Grand Theft Auto. And as you remember, there was a whole controversy with modding tools. The fact that Open4 got a cease and desist and, you know, big backlash regarding it. Well, there's been an update to that. So Rockstar Games has added a new page to their support site, basically talking about single-player mods. So they're saying, are single-player PC mods allowed? And it says, After discussion with Take-Two has agreed that it generally will not take legal action against third parties involved in Rockstar PC games that are single-player, non-commercial, with respect to IP, rights of third parties, and this does not apply to multiplayer online services, tools, files, libraries, or functions that could be used to impact multiplayer online services, or use of importation of other IP, including other Rockstar IP, in the project. This is not a license, and it does not constitute endorsement, approval, or authorization of any third-party project. Take-Two reserves the right to object to any third-party project, or revise, revoke, blah, blah, blah. So it sounds like that they're kind of going out saying, no, we, you know, PC mods are still okay. Single-player mods are fine. And I don't remember if it's a part of this, but I've watched a lot of live streams regarding this. And people are a little bit more in the know, and I think they're actually in contact with the Open4 guys to see if that can get, you know, back, you know, basically saying, listen, we're, as long as you don't, you know, do anything with online, you guys are still okay to, you know, bring that back. So we'll see if that's the case. Because, I mean, there's a lot of cool shit you can do with it. I've been watching a lot of different streams where they have, you know, different scripting mods and stuff that look pretty fantastic. One of this like awesome things that you can do with OpenFOR, and I didn't even realize this, they have, as part of the OpenFOR package, not only can you use it to change the models in game and stuff like that to, you know, mod things to look differently, but they have a thing called Open Camera, which is actually a mod to the whole Rockstar editor, so you can use it for filming different things. You're not constrained to the stuff that you have in that editor. You can actually do more of a free cam with it. And with that, one of the things I watched actually today is this movie that they made. It's a short film filmed entirely within Grand Theft Auto 5. And it was called, you know, Not Normal or something like that. It's fucking amazing. It's like absolutely amazing what you can do with this editor. It's just, that wouldn't be possible without, you know, with this kind of ban on this stuff. So I think that they realize that, that there's a lot of creativity that you can do here. But at the same time, you know, they got to protect their money in online. And I don't think people are really opposed to that. So go after the people making cheat devices for online and let OpenFOR exist.
All right.
And then along with that, you know, speaking of mods and stuff, so one of the things that people do with any game, including Grand Theft Auto 5, is dig through the code. So apparently some people found in the gun running update, which is the latest update they did for GTA Online, that there's a series of code related to the whole Zancudo military base and UFO crashing. Because remember, everybody's been looking for this, you know, hidden Easter egg thing that's in, you know, about UFOs and stuff in Grand Theft Auto, because there's been all these hints towards it, but never really anything coming to fruition. Well, apparently, though, there is a supply mission that there's some way to trigger it, and it may not be something that's available right now, but they have filmed it triggering where a UFO crashes and you go capture an alien egg from it. So, because, you know, it's not finished yet, it's something that may be released later on, and they're not entirely sure what you have to do to trigger the mission. Apparently, it's very rare, but it is something that is in the game, so that's kind of neat to see something related to the whole Chilliad mystery stuff.
It's always fun to dig through files and find little secrets.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to talk about Overwatch and secrets that people are finding on the PTR, although I guess they're not really secret if they are being publicly tested. But there are going to be some big changes coming to Overwatch. There's going to be a new recently captured tab in the highlights menu. So you can actually bind a key to record up to 32 of your own highlights. So that's kind of neat. What will happen on consoles, you can take those clips and download them to the system's native media library. But on PC, you can then download them and output them in 4K 60 frames a second on any computer, regardless of the specs. I think that's very smart.
That's pretty sweet.
That's very similar to what Mario Kart 8 does on Wii U. So strangely enough, not the Switch.
And actually, going back to the whole Rockstar editor thing, that's what you can do with that too. If your PC is just kind of because it's not, it's rendering it later on. It's not in real time. They can do it at much higher resolution than you can do it.
Exactly. That's what that Mario Kart TV thing is doing in Mario Kart. Is it's rendering it. Basically not in real, it's rendering it on demand, and so everything kind of looks really good in those replays and so forth, and the real nuances that you see, like, you remember I'll remember Angry Luigi, that whole meme from a couple years ago, right? That was all from the rendering that it does in the game after the fact. So the fact that that's coming to Overwatch, that's going to be awesome. And it always surprised me that that was not a feature you could use for play of the games right out the gate. Like, I was always surprised, like, Blizzard didn't have a way to natively dump those clips. People were using screen recorders and filming it with cell phones and all this other garbage. So the fact that they're doing the native exports, I think, is going to be a really good thing for their game. So that's really smart. Also, and going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, come on, Gumshoes in chat says, nice, I'd really wish that I could go back and see some of my play of the match clips. Better than earning an achievement. Yeah, sometimes, for sure. Anyway, also with this, loot boxes are going to get some improvement. The rate of duplicates will be drastically reduced. To compensate for this, the lack of currency that would be generated from lack of duplicates, the overall amount of credits that you'll get from loot boxes will increase. All those changes live on the PTR. If you want to see see how that's going to affect you. I'm happy to hear the amount of duplicates is going down. I'll never forget that time during the Uprising event. I opened a loot box on PlayStation 4 and I got the awesome D.Va intro, which is great, but I got that D.Va intro, the selfie one where the mech explodes behind her. I got that twice in one box. That's a bit much, don't you think?
Yeah.
To get the same thing twice in a box. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I was ecstatic to get that intro, but that might have been a bit much. So, excited to hear about that change. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Well, we're going to have a new fighting game playable at EVO this year. There will be the new fighting game out by Arika. And it is, I'm trying to see the name of it. I didn't actually list the name. But it's featuring Street Fighter EX characters, Garuda, Kairi, and Hokuto, that was listed in the footage. And as we know, Arika did the Street Fighter EX series, which it would be nice, actually, if we got another EX series. That would be really good. But they are teasing it as something for a project. It was actually first brought out on April Fool's, so they thought it was a joke. People thought it was a joke, but it actually is happening. So for other fighters that are going to be there is Gundam versus Marvel versus Capcom Infinite, Dissidia Final Fantasy NT, and Dragon Ball Fighters, the Trunks build or later. So there you go. It's in 2 weeks.
Are you going to check it out?
Well, yeah. I'm more interested in the Dragon Ball fighting game, though.
But there's room. There's
room. I like
in your,
EX. I want Skullamania to come back.
There's room in your heart for more than one fighting game, I'm sure.
I loved Skullamania and Hokuto. Those are like my two.
Act Eft in chat says EVO is going to be awesome. I'm sure a lot of people are looking forward to it.
Someone want to send me a ticket to Vegas? I'll go cover it for OLR.
Just a few more stories here, and then we're going to get to our Skype line if you want to call and talk about EVO or really anything at all. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. We'll get there in just a moment. But first, Loki.
I don't know what to say about this. It's definitely an interesting time to be alive. Tecmo is making a version of Dead or Alive that you can smell. That's right. They're calling it, and not just Dead or Alive, Dead or Alive Extreme, like as in the extremely fan service.
Smell what?
I don't know, but Dead or
the
Alive.
Beach?
It's coming to their, I guess,
coconut oil?
Their VR Sense platform, which is an arcade game. So the arcade cabinet, actually, that this game runs on has different sensory functions like hot, cold, wind, mist, and smell.
Just what we need arcades to smell like is Dead or Alive.
It smells like what? Sex and candy in here.
Oh, my God. That song from the 90s is relevant again. I can't believe it. Marcy Playground never thought they'd be collecting residuals in 2017.
Dear Lord, because that song is terrible.
So I'm guessing that, I don't know, I don't. Lots of coconut oil, I'm guessing, right?
No, lots of coke.
Or pussy? I don't know. Is that not what I'm supposed to infer?
If someone's serving fish.
If they're going to give you the full strip club experience, then I say that they spray glitter on your face. Because, you know, if you're going to smell like a strip club, at least you should have the sparkly glitter to go along with it.
You win, and then the poof, poof. The game just sprays you
I'm
in
just
glitter.
Now remembering your story about the strip club.
What? Oh, when I went to the strip club and got a lap dance?
Yeah.
Because my friends were like, you know, obviously I've been totally gay my whole life, but you know, in my early 20s, it was like, I guess it was like a thing for my friends to take the gay guy to a strip club. And they said, which one do you think is the hottest? And I said, and I quote, that one, because she looks like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which is true. She looked a lot like Sarah Michelle Gellar. So of course my friend bought me a lap dance and it was really awkward and everything. And I felt sorry for
the girl.
Did
you tell her that she looked like Buffy?
I don't remember if I ended up telling her that I picked her because she looked like Buffy, but I did. She did at the end. She was like, you don't. She could tell I did not. I was not responding to her, right? So she was like, what's wrong? Relax. Are you okay? And I was like, honey, I'm gay. And she said, oh, I thought so. And she sat down next to me and she just. And she's like, oh, my roommate's gay. He's my best friend in the whole world. Da, 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 da. And she's telling me her life story. And all I can think of is, like, please put your shirt back on because this is really awkward right now.
Mm-hmm.
Did you really want me to tell that story on OLR? Because you got me to tell that story on OLR.
No, I just made me think about it.
You got me to tell that story on OLR.
You've said it on OLR before.
Have I?
Yes.
I think it's been a long time. Those are the types of stories I don't like to tell on OLR. Nobody knows to hear about the time when Rob Roberts got boobies in his face. Nobody needs to hear that story.
Wait, you know, there is always the 16th anniversary show.
Where we go have it at City Limits.
Is that even still there?
I think it is.
What is the I think it's still Showgirls, is that the name of
Showgirls
it?
Showgirls is still
that
there.
That was City Limits.
No, City Limits is a different place.
I thought City Limits was the one off Auburn down there.
I don't know. I don't know.
Showgirls, I know,
clubs.
Is still there because I drive past it as I go to the Togo's over there.
I would just
all the
go
time.
For the food.
Well, so here's the thing. So obviously the non-locals have no idea what we're talking about. In California, the law is we have juice bars because there's laws. Are they city laws or state laws? I think they're state laws. Mm. The state law is that you cannot have alcohol and titties. Or is it
full nudity?
It's beaver. It's beaver.
It's
the problem.
Full nudity. Yeah.
So you can't have that and alcohol in the same place. So that's why you have juice bars. You can get juice and
or soda, yeah.
Yeah, or soda or mozzarella sticks, which I want to say, Loki, when I told you that story, I swear you were the one that said, "Oh yeah, they got great mozzarella sticks."
They did have good mozzarella sticks. However, mozzarella sticks in strip clubs, you don't want to like.
Only Loki would be like, "Oh yeah, that strip club's got great mozzarella sticks."
I was hungry.
Fried cheese and boobs.
What's not to like?
Doesn't that sound like a party, Dark Sakura?
I don't know. I'm kind of not into any of that.
The fried cheese is a whole hell lot cheaper than the boobs. That's for sure.
Moving on. Can we please talk about video games? Please. It's been 15 goddamn years. Can I talk about a fucking video game?
Rectum.
I hardly knew him. All right. Mega Man 4 is the last game I want to talk about tonight. You know, classic video game. When was it? 1991 or 92 when that game came out? Well, here's the thing. Apparently in that game, there was supposed to be a mini boss in Pharaoh Man's stage. But that boss never made it into the game. You could see this boss in an issue of EGM back in 1991, but hence that mini boss never actually made it into the game. Well, get this, there's a YouTube that came out this week, and it's around the different gaming blogs, and you can finally see that boss in motion. Now, usually this wouldn't be such a big deal, but I kind of like these stories about, like, unearthed things in video games, like, 20 years after the fact. Kind of related to your Grand Theft Auto Alien thing, although that's a little more current.
Yeah.
But I like this whole, like, digging into games to find this stuff. And to be fair, this was not digging it. Nobody dug into the Mega Man code. Somebody found, like, an old video footage of somebody playing this at, like, an expo or something like that. So, it was just – it was unearthed in video footage. But with all the talk – about Star Fox 2 coming back, you know, that was promoted in magazines and all this stuff, but outside of a 90% finished ROM, nobody's ever really got to play Star Fox 2. So I think it's kind of cool that a lot of these old video game history things are being unearthed. So I just think that's kind of neat. So anyway, Dark Tetsuya in chat says, I highly recommend watching this video series. You get to see the behind the scenes watching the guys at EGM setting up to get screenshots for the magazine. Yeah, you can actually see them setting up to take a picture and all that good stuff. So you can check that out. What is the YouTube user that actually did this together? I see the YouTube here. Let me actually go to YouTube. God, this is a 54-minute clip. Robert Hoskin is the individual's name over on YouTube, so you can check that out. Very cool. All right, that's going to do it for the stories that we have slotted tonight, but we're going to open up the Skype line if you have a little more to say. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to give us a call. Meanwhile, I'll check in with Loki while we're waiting for a call to see if we have any last-minute stories. Loki?
Apparently I can't spell normal with one hand here. Okay, thank you for minimizing that window. I was posting a link in the chat for that not normal short film that was done in Grand Theft Auto because they have it on Vimeo. And they also have the behind the scenes for it too, where the guy talks about making it and everything, which is pretty interesting. So definitely go watch that. But a really good thing. Last minute stories. This is something that's kind of interesting. I'm not sure who to blame for this. But apparently they uploaded the 4K footage from that whole... what was the EA game that you guys don't like because Mass Effect was
Anthem.
Anthem. Yeah, so they uploaded 4K footage of Anthem. That was supposedly the PS4 version that they were showing off or whatever. And apparently it looked like they just pasted PlayStation 4 button prompts over Xbox One button prompts.
That's so, kind of funny.
So
I don't know why.
The thought was, oh, this is Xbox One X footage or something like that. I think it's still running off PC, but who knows? It's interesting, though.
I remember way back, my very first E3 was the year they were, I think they were showing off the 360 for the first time. Or maybe that was the second year. I don't know, but I remember, like, in the cabinets were PCs.
Yeah.
That were playing the 360 games. Yeah, the dev kits were just PCs.
So.
It's not uncommon in the gaming world. There's nothing wrong with
that.
Yeah,
it's just, but if you're going to upload 4K footage, maybe reshoot that or, you know, edit that out or something.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just, whoops.
Again, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to give us a call. Looks like people are being shy tonight, but I also know it's a long weekend, so a lot of people went on vacation and stuff, so we probably don't have quite the same turnout we would usually have, but we were already off last week. We don't want to miss 2 weeks in a row. YouTube series I could recommend. I started watching this because somebody recommended it to me. There's a Final Fantasy 14 documentary out there. And I can't remember the name of the YouTube user. Maybe somebody on in chat will know what I'm talking about. But it's a whole documentary about the 1.0 and, like, why it was kind of, like, rushed the way it was. And they actually talked to some of the developers on the game and all that. So it kind of talks about, like, the death of 1.0 or actually the fact that they were running 1.0 while they were still making 2.0, essentially. So it was like, you know, they were creating this new game but maintaining the old game that they knew they were going to pull the plug on the whole time they were doing it. This is very interesting to me.
When's 11 coming out mobile already?
That has kind of disappeared, hasn't it? They didn't say anything about it at E3 or anything like that. So, it was weird. All right, last call for calls. Get in now or don't get
they
in
have
at
a new
all.
Final Fantasy 15 like mobile game. I gotta admit, like,
oh yeah, that new there's a brand new one that just came out.
Yeah, they're all reskins of. I swear to God, I've played a lot of these. They're all reskins of each other. There's like really only like two or three mobile games out there that
we
are
have a
popular.
Good friend that worked on it.
We should get somebody on the show to talk about it then, hopefully, if they can. Sometimes they're all like gag orders and stuff, but anyway.
Yeah.
Hmm.
They're all reskins.
Well, I know there's a lot out there where they take a popular game and they'll kind of, you know, put the property on it. Mm-hmm. That was what Endless Runners. What was the freaking? They did one for Temple Run, right? That was a big game. I don't think that game's that big anymore, but they did like a Brave. Disney had a Brave. Yeah. It was just Temple Run. Right, so sometimes
Angry Birds, Star Wars Angry Birds, and they have the whole Rio Angry Birds thing. Yeah.
All right. Well, it doesn't look like people are calling in, so I guess we're going to wrap up the show. That's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. All right, you shy people. At least you can head on over to the Discord, and you can talk to us there on Discord. Leave us some messages. Also, you can always leave us an email anytime throughout the week. Participate at orangelaunchradio.com, or you can always tweet us, twitter.com/OLR. Sorry I don't always get around to reading those on air just because I have so many windows open when I'm trying to do the show, but I promise I do read all the tweets. If you send something for Jamie or Matt, I will always forward it as appropriate. But for now, it's time for us to wrap up the show and get on out of here. Thank you guys for tuning in tonight. I hope you guys had a fun time on the show tonight. We'll be back to do it again in 7 days. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we can only put those voices out there if they're here to share in the show with us. So, a nice 5-star review on iTunes or Google Play or wherever it is you found this show, that goes a long way as well. So let's go around and get everybody's final thought for the night. I'll start. My final thought for the night is I need to play some more Overwatch. I haven't played in like a few weeks. I'm feeling the itch to play some Overwatch, but darn that Final Fantasy expansion taking all my time. Jamie, I'll let you go next. Your final thought tonight.
I'm going to go home and play more of the screaming game. I'm sorry, Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2.
Ah, it's over 9,000.
So much screaming. You know what? I tried to play it in English, and the good voice actors, don't get me wrong, but when you have started with the series, hearing a particular series of voices, it's really hard to go to anything else. You know?
All right. Loki, your final thought tonight.
I guess I'm going to work on my game this week. The new game, apparently. I guess. Maybe.
All right.
Hopefully.
I hope you actually get it done.
Me too.
All right, we are going to do it for another episode. That's it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. We'll see you in 7 days. We'll do it all over again. Have a great week gaming. Enjoy the new stuff that's out this week, and we will see you very soon next week with another edition of Orange Lounge Radio. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.